Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch. Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. All heck is breaking loose here. AC/DC has a concert tonight, so intermittently you might hear some low rumbles. Is that AC/DC music? So what does that mean?
It means it's a circus around
act
here.
Around here.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
I thought you were just talking about Andy after he eats.
So they're getting ready and to have their concert tonight. But more importantly to us and to this show, training camp is now just 2 days away. Thursday, that's right, the countdown begins.
You might want to play the circus music again, too, Doc.
9:30, Patriots Nation will descend upon Gillette Stadium for the first of two practices that day and the first of many practices to follow because Bill Belichick has scheduled two-a-days at least for the first 7 days of camp.
Oh,
and,
I can't wait.
Beyond. So we got a lot of practices, a lot of stuff going to be happening fast and furiously here, so I can't wait.
Are you going to be there for, you say every, you're going to try to make every practice.
I'm
going
to try to make every practice I possibly can.
You are lying your ass off.
Over under on number of practices Fred Kirsch attends.
80%.
Eight.
I'll take the under.
I'll take the under.
Last year, I went to probably
75.
As many practices as all
I'll
of you.
I'll give you 75%.
I'll take the over.
I think
on
you'll
that,
be in the ballpark. I'm just saying. I think you'll take the under.
75.
Yeah. Between
right.
meetings
three out of four.
And everything, I think you'll miss a few.
Every fourth practice, you'll
it
be
It is
out.
A very busy it's, offseason.
I won't. Any practice that you get out to, I would count as a practice attended. Not saying that you're going to be there the whole time. I would
right.
go over 80. Fred makes a lot of
speaking of busy, a couple things I do want to mention. One is that Thursday morning, when you log on to Patriots.com, it will have a new look. So get ready for that.
Okay.
So by about 8 o'clock in the morning, you're going to see a big switch to the homepage of Patriots.com. So that's something to look forward to.
Anything you can tease any more than that?
Yeah, I'd rather have people surprised.
All right.
It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's going
to
be
now,
cool.
Do you want them to be surprised or you are you afraid of promising something that's not actually going to come to fruition?
No. I mean, I know what it looks like, you know, but it's not like anything's going to happen differently. It's just going to look differently, you know.
Drastic?
I'd say, yeah, the top half of the page will be drastically changed.
Big
yeah.
picture of me?
No, that would be bad. We want people to come back. But
is this all work? Has this
been tested?
Can you imagine
a big picture of you? Wow.
You'd have to have, most people have those new widescreen monitors, though, right? Big 19-inch widescreen.
So anyway.
I don't know if that'll help.
So that's going to happen Thursday morning. And then mid-August and by the beginning of the season, we've got a few other things that we'll be launching. But I'll wait to announce those as we get closer. But Thursday morning by 8 o'clock, look for a new Patriots.com. The other thing I wanted to announce that Doc wants to make sure that, and I guess I'll read it as he wrote it. Get set for the 2009 fantasy football season with a special half-hour edition of the Fantasy Lowdown on Thursday, August 6th at 3 p.m. Email your questions to webradio@patriots.com or give B-Lo a call at 508-543-7482. If you can't catch the show live, make sure you download the podcast. So B-Lo's Fantasy Lowdown is getting ready. So he's going to do a preseason preview show, and that's going to be on August 6th at 3 p.m. So you want to make sure you tune in for that. And
wow.
Mid-sentence, he saw Nikki Cox. You want to make sure – whoa.
You want to make sure that
boobs.
You
yes!
get you know, because B-Lo likes to have a live audience for a show. No, he does. I mean, who doesn't?
I think he'd
right?
take
who
any
doesn't?
Audience, dead or alive.
So make sure that you tune in for that show August 6th at 3 p.m. And then one final announcement before we get into talking about football
Crable.
Is that on Thursday's show, PFW in Progress, will be expanded. We'll start at noon, but we'll go until 3 o'clock. And the reason for that is...
Paul's stomach.
Well, that plus Bill Belichick's
Sweet.
Press conference is around noontime. So we figured rather than have dueling live programming on PFW in Progress, we'll have Bill Belichick's press conference live on PFW in Progress, and then we'll immediately go into the show. So I'll kick the show off at noon. We'll go into Belichick, and then by that time, you guys will be back, and we'll have the show
we'll
as
do
normal
that.
Until 3 o'clock.
We'll do that every Tuesday and Thursday that there is a morning practice, because
right.
that's what the schedule will be. So
right.
expanded PFW in Progress, for better or worse.
For during training camp, which is good. Bonus content for our loyal listeners. So
and there should be plenty to talk about.
Absolutely.
Just like yeah. there is today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what do you got first?
Reports out of both papers this morning that Patriots have 5 players set to begin camp on PUP. Ty Warren is the biggest name in the group, but not surprising. He had multiple procedures this offseason. I think his injuries were well known. Not surprising. But Sean Skinny Legs Crable, supposedly the future and maybe present at outside linebacker Fred Kirsch, is starting on PUP.
And there's no indication given as to what the
no, and there
injury
won't
might
be until
well,
yeah,
because
there just won't be
because some of the other players listed did have you know their reasons
well,
for being
first
on
of
there.
All let's say where the report's from so
the Globe
this isn't
and the Herald
or anything
the Globe and the Herald are both reporting mm-hmm. today
where'd
citing
they get
league
from?
Sources
league, yeah
league sources.
Unnamed sources
which when you put somebody on PUP there is a process involved that goes on the wire
so, I never said that.
No, you didn't.
No, but that's what happens.
So now let's also define what a preseason PUP is. This is a little different than, you know, the 6-game waiting period and all that stuff.
It's active mm-hmm. PUP at this point. You can be removed from it at any point when you are deemed physically able, when you pass a physical by the team. But the tie-in to the reserve PUP, which is the season opening one, which you miss the first 6 weeks at least, is that in order to be on season opening reserve PUP, you must begin training camp on the active PUP list. So any guy that's not on PUP to start camp cannot be on reserve PUP to start the season. But these guys aren't necessarily going to be on reserve PUP.
Now, what was Crable was there for the OTA, the mandatory.
Yes.
So are we assuming that this is something that happened between then and now?
Well, I'm going to give you my assumption.
Okay, Paul.
And it's
could
not
be
good.
Anything.
My assumption is that as a guy who was on IR last year, he had a pre-existing injury from last season. Those guys are required to report with the rookies. Am I mistaken on that? July 26th, I believe it was, mm-hmm. Sunday. That's when Patrick Chung came in, by the way, has officially signed. The Patriots put that release out yesterday. My guess, Fred, is that he did not pass his conditioning test, and that has landed him on active PUP. I have nothing
mm-hmm.
to gauge that by.
Right.
Because we don't, as Eric pointed out, there is some reasons that we know of with guys like Ty Warren and Mark Lavore, who did not participate in the OTAs during the course of the spring. Crable was out there for every one of them. It's possible that he, you know, maybe pulled a muscle doing something, some kind of workout, lifting or whatever. Yeah, it's possible. My guess is that he did not pass his conditioning test, and that is where you end up if you don't pass it, is on active PUP.
Now, there's another conditioning test that will happen tomorrow. That's with all the veterans. The veterans aren't actually supposed to report till tomorrow, and then they have the conditioning run, and then you might see some additional people on PUP.
You could. You could also see people removed.
Right.
Because they give you opportunities to test again, and once you pass it, then you're
right. On that list, is Gerard Mayo?
What? No.
No, not on today's list.
Well, that's good. No. That's good news.
No, I thought, you know, it's Warren, Crable, Ornberger, Richard, and LaVore.
Okay.
And that's Daryl Richard, not Richard Seymour.
Okay. I didn't think he'd reach the point where I can just call him Richard. And
right.
Not Jordan.
Okay. So good. Gerard Mayo wasn't out there for the OTAs, but he's not on this list.
But he's not here yet.
But like Paul said, he's a veteran who wasn't injured last year, so he didn't have to report early. If he reports on time and, you know, there's an issue.
We've reached speculation portion of the show.
Yeah.
2 minutes in.
All right. Well, that's, I guess. The
bottom line is it isn't good.
Yeah,
John Crable is a guy who's a total unknown, who is being counted on, at least in the eyes of the media and fans, to be a contributor at outside linebacker in the wake of the Mike Vrabel trade. And somewhere along the line, there's a reason he's not perfectly ready to start camp, whether it's an injury that crept up at some point, whether it's the conditioning run, whatever it is, it's not good. Because he's fighting, I think it's a challenge to expect a guy to come in and contribute like I personally am expecting him to after doing nothing as a rookie regardless. And to have a black mark like this a little bit early in the year is not good.
Andy's initial speculation was that he landed on PUP because he had skinny legs. But there's,
you know,
there's
that,
really
those
no
shin injuries, that's what cost him last year.
They looked at that thing and they said, you can't play with
once
those.
You blow that shin out.
All right, well, that's interesting news. So we won't be alarmed when we don't see Crable or Ty Warren out there on Thursday.
No, we're alarmed now.
You know, if Paul, he could run the test tomorrow, and he could be out there by Thursday.
Yep.
So.
If it isn't actually injury, if it's more conditioning related, so
you have to hope that that's it at this point, because like Andy said, he can't afford to miss any time.
No,
at all.
Because now you're down to Bantakane, Red, and Woods vying for that spot, and we kind of know what Bantakane is. I think Red's an even bigger unknown than Crable. And I'm not sure Woods is ready to come in and just start 16 games and carry the load.
Well, if Willie McGinnis shows up, then we know what's going on with Crable.
I did notice the Boston Globe did have in its notes, not notes, in its Mike Reese did like five things to keep an eye on or something, and still left open the door for a veteran addition at this point. So maybe he's hearing something along those lines.
And it would make sense to have, you know, one of those guys come in later rather than sooner, you know, of those really veteran guys. I don't mean a Derek Burgess type. It would, you know, they would want to get him in as soon as possible if they wanted to make that kind of a move. But McGinnis, or even, you know, Sayo came right out and said it that he's not interested.
Call
in
me when the season starts. But McGinnis made me laugh with his comments
McGinnis
at that charity softball game where he said, if someone calls, I'll play. If not, I guess I'm retired. Well, I guess that's kind of the way it works. If no one offers you a job, you're kind of retired.
I also thought it was funny that he said he had no problems going to training camp and whatnot and doing that kind of thing. He didn't do that when he was playing here before he left for Cleveland. He didn't
always managed.
He didn't really take part in training camp. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yep. What else do we have, guys, besides the PUP reports from the Herald and Globe?
Chung, as
Patrick
Paul said.
Chung is officially announced, so that means everybody signed? Or no, Jake Ingram?
Jake Ingram is not signed, and Tyrone McKenzie with an asterisk. Of
now,
really
what the hell would Jake Ingram be holding out for?
Money.
The
reports are that they wanted to make it a roster bonus for next year, a portion of his money, and he has balked at that, he and his agent.
Okay.
And I'm okay. I mean, I don't know the details, obviously,
evidently,
but if you're a long
snapper,
fell asleep
during that story yesterday as well as I did writing it.
If you're a long snapper, I'm not looking for any money to be next year because I'm either your starter or I'm gone. I'm not.
True.
You don't bounce around on the bottom of the roster for a year or two as a long snapper and collect that
money.
It's
not like he has a chance. Oh, they can stash me in the practice squad. I can learn the system. I can show them that you're a long snapper. If I'm not the best guy for the job here, I got to see where else I can go to maybe find out where I am the best guy for the job.
Okay.
But I would still assume they'll get it done.
All right. We came out with our preview issue for Patriots Football Weekly yesterday. And that
it's
will
actually
hit
printing.
Should be out there by the end of the day today.
Right.
So that'll hit newsstands first thing tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning. So if you're in the New England area, pretty much anywhere you can buy USA Today, you can pick up Patriots Football Weekly. And for those of you internationally who are subscribing to the newspaper, it'll be posted online. If it isn't already posted online, it'll be up by tomorrow morning. So you'll have access to PFW International.
Everything you need for camp. Roster, depth chart, faces.
Yep. It was a good job, although I do have to call you guys out. I mean, the content was really good. But your proofreading, it's like you forgot how to proofread over the off season. What's going on with that? I had more red marks than a
I did notice a couple of pages that I
dyslexia.
That I carried for you. I noticed a couple of pages that, you had corrected, and I brought them to the Michelle to make the final marks on. I didn't really read them that closely. I did I did notice a lot of red, which stuck out to me. But a couple of things that I looked at were kind of like changing words and stuff. So were they like a lot of just mistakes, factual mistakes or misspellings, or were they just changing words? Because I saw a lot of changing
words.
There
were a few changing words, but a lot of, there were spelling errors. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
like,
that's there's no excuse for that.
You know,
there is no excuse for that.
You know, and
other than the fact that I continue to tell
illogical
you I'm a terrible copy
phrasing
editor.
That
unexcused.
Had to be. It looked
unexcused.
Like somebody made a change but then forgot to change something that was already, you know.
Like what?
Things like that.
Like elegies.
Not like a headline or anything.
Like elegies.
No, elegies is right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It just was one of those words that, it, you know.
I checked it. Because I didn't
you
know.
Thought Fred I had eulogy. To look it up.
I didn't know if you meant eulogies.
But I checked to make sure that elegies was also correct in its context, and it was.
Not surprisingly. I knew it was correct because, not surprisingly, if given the choice between two words, one that everybody knows and one that no one knows,
I will
you would
take
the one
that nobody
no one
knows,
knows.
Of course.
So that's why I figured it
so
was
good
right.
Call
when
by
I saw
Paul
it.
To
but
leave
I,
it in there.
But I, like Fred, looked it up just to make sure.
All right.
You also used the word sanguine.
Yeah. Did you not like that?
No, I just, you know, I noticed.
You
that
laughed.
You
right?
got that word in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Really? I think I missed that one.
I saw it. There are way too many of us wearing light blue polo shirts today.
Eric and Tacoma and Andy all have powder blue, baby blue,
and
baby blue polo shirts on. What?
Seriously, Fred.
What is yours? Boston's and Fort Lauderdale?
Delray Beach.
Delray Beach.
Delray Beach. We've been there.
I was going to say, isn't there like a promotion there every
Boston's
year?
Boston's on the beach.
That's, yeah.
That's that's you got it from the Score, I bet, right?
No, my parents know the former owner.
Oh, because I think the Score
former
used
owner's
to...
is from Quincy, right? Or somewhere around
he's
there?
He's from around... Yeah. Around
no,
here.
It's that... It's. I don't think it's the same place that we're talking about, Fred. I think, isn't this the place that Brian used to go to... When he worked at the Score, and they would do their thing with the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
That's
it's
the same place,
the place
that we went
Teddy,
that day
Teddy
with Ted Sarandis.
Go,
it could be a nice meal out on the deck.
You go after
same,
the kitchen's
same
closed and ask the guy to make him a nice meal.
Out on the deck.
Right.
You cook for me out on the deck.
Anyway, we're getting off the track here. Okay, so.
That's what we do.
So we're geared up for training camp on Thursday. Things are looking good for the Patriots going into this season. I read all your updates. In the issue that's coming out tomorrow morning, you know, they're stacked. They're ready to go. I mean, the questions that we've had are the same questions that we've had since the end of last season. Outside linebacker, what's going to happen with the defensive secondary? But when you compare those questions or weaknesses right now on paper to other teams around the NFL, the Patriots are still the team to beat, I think.
No question.
Oh, yeah. There's certainly teams that have more question marks than this one does.
The only thing I'd add is, the Crable thing to the outside line. I mean, Crable has been much talked about as Woods, Crable, whatever, if you didn't get Taylor and Burgess, and now there's some question about your question.
Well, you're hoping that on certain situations he'd come in and be, you know, the prototypical pass rusher. Who is that guy now? I don't know.
Well, not just that, but
it could still be him.
Throughout the offseason, when we've talked to other players, especially defensive players, notable ones like Richard Seymour, they've mentioned how by leaps and bounds players like Crable and Woods have advanced this offseason. So there was big expectations placed by their own teammates. On
Rodney Harrison today in the Globe in Mike Reese's piece talked about the same thing, you know, with Pierre Woods and how
I'm off Rodney.
You're off Rodney. Tell
his
me
quotes
why.
Did you read those?
No.
Mike Reese did. He said, kind of forget about Brady because we all know that's the biggest storyline question mark heading into camp. He did his five other stories to watch, red zone, third down, outside linebacker, corner. And in some, and he got Rodney to talk about each issue as an, you know, an analyst now. And I just thought, for a guy who claimed he was going to be not afraid to kind of be critical of his former team, it was all very positive. And the thing that stuck out to me was he called Pierre Woods a phenomenal talent. Well, come on. I'm not even sure Pierre Woods' mom would call him a phenomenal talent at this point. He's a seventh-round pick who's been a special teamer for 3 years.
He's a no-round pick.
He was a free agent.
He's a free agent.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a rookie free agent who's been a special teamer for three. I mean, phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
A phenomenal talent is Jerod Mayo. A phenomenal talent is as soon as you play. Randy, I mean, Pierre Woods played last year, right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady was a low-round pick who, once he started playing, was a pretty phenomenal talent. I mean, was it his third game against San Diego, the comeback, and he threw 50 passes? Yeah. I mean, right there you're seeing, well, this guy's got some special
to him. He's got special
qualities.
Pierre
Woods played enough last year, and I don't remember seeing a lot of special. So to call the guy a tremendous talent starts to smell like Rodney Harrison when he talks about the Patriots might be a little different than Rodney Harrison talks about the rest of the league.
Right.
Love you, Rodney.
Well, I mean,
I still love you, Rodney.
I'm interested in Pierre Woods and Crable and Gary Guyton. Those are the three guys that I'm going to have my eye on, hopefully, if they're out there.
What about Paris Lennon?
Well, not so much, because Lennon, I think, I, not that we, I got to see him a lot at all. I don't even remember seeing him at all, but I think I have an idea of what
he's an NFL player.
Yeah, I think I have an idea of what he can do, you know, unless he turns out to be Monty Bizell, I think.
Or worse, Victor Hobson.
Yeah,
but what if he turns out to be like Jerod Mayo or positive?
Well, that's great.
Wouldn't you be surprised?
I would be. Yeah.
I think there's a better chance of that than Monty Bizell.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a good year numbers-wise. Again, I didn't watch the
Lions.
But
somebody's got to make the tackles when you're on the field.
But he had forced fumbles, interceptions, sacks.
Yeah, he made what few plays they made, he made a lot of them.
I mean, no, I'm not taking that away from him.
Fred, you know what? Just for once, why don't you just give the benefit of the doubt to the Patriots?
That's right.
For once.
Because I'm so negative.
It's those two guys. I think Bodden could have 10 picks and be a number one corner, and I think Lennon could start for this team down the road. And Fred's just not happy with the new Lions that are joining the Patriots.
I agree with you because, you know, he's going to be, if he starts.
Were you agreeing with me on? Because Bodden, you fought me on.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, I agree with you because if he starts, he's going to be taking Teddy Bruschi's place. And that could very possibly happen.
And it could be an upgrade just in terms of youth, size, athleticism, all that.
You know.
Dude's stacked.
I mean, we all love Teddy Bruschi, but everyone's saying the same thing. You know, this is, you know, the tread on the tire is very thin at this point. He'll be out there for his emotional leadership as much as anything else at this point.
Do you think it was offensive in my linebacker thing where I wrote, I kind of led in with Mayo talking about wanting to make more plays and said, if Mayo's the future of playmaking at the position, Teddy Bruschi is the past?
Well, no. I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Okay. I just want
to, I thought,
because I wrote it thinking, this is fact. I'm writing fact. But then it can kind of be taken
look at the last year.
See, I looked at it complimentary. You were saying, you know, let's not forget, Teddy Bruschi was like Jerod Mayo
last
year.
If Mayo can do what Bruschi used to do, then they are doing very well at inside linebacker.
See, and you really do see the bridge because you go, you know, beyond 2 years ago. I mean, all the big defensive plays, pretty much Teddy Bruschi was in on them, you know. You think of stripping the ball against the Colts and interception.
Picking passes,
you know, there was a run where he had five interceptions in a row, all for touchdowns, something like that. Some crazy stat.
I think it was
stat.
Four, but
four.
Yeah.
You know,
four straight interceptions.
But then you get into 07 and 08 where he was making tackles but not making plays. Mm-hmm. Now you get Mayo in 08, made a lot of tackles, not a lot of plays. So now, can he make the step to what Bruschi was 3 years ago?
And he talked about that earlier in the offseason, about that's, you know, an area for him to improve on is in playmaking.
Yep.
Because he didn't do that last year, and it was, you know, like you said, a noticeable lack of plays from Mayo.
Right.
Other than the high tackle numbers.
Right.
I guess the main person I was worried about reading it was Teddy Bruschi.
No, but
which is a possibility because he's one of the guys that does read our stuff and not afraid to.
Yeah, but you can see the logical passing of the torch here.
Oh, no question.
Because of what's happened over the last 3 years.
I looked at it as much complimentary as any.
It's kind of how it was meant to be.
Negative that you could come out of it. I think you're trying to say it's the guy who's done. You know, the Jerod Mayo stuff. Teddy Bruschi's been there and done.
Been where Mayo wants to be.
He's been there and done that. You know, that's exactly right. It's where Mayo wants to go. Bruschi's already done.
Now, one thing he may be more physically gifted and could go beyond that, but he needs to get to that point first.
Now, one thing I will say about Brewski, he looks in phenomenal shape this offseason. He really does look in that much shape. Now, but the problem with Brewski is speed right now, and I don't know if you can't increase that at this point in his career, but he does look in great shape.
But I think you know what you're getting with him. And if Mayo plays the way he's supposed to play, and Brewski is the somebody's got to make plays kind of linebacker, the guy who's cleaning up the scrap, sure, some of his tackles are 7 yards downfield, but they're tackles that are saving plays from being 15 yards, while Mayo's running around making plays at the line of scrimmage, I think you can get by with that. There's not a ton of depth, but I think you're not looking for Brewski to be that playmaker anymore. That's Mayo now.
Well, see, I think when you talk about starting, you put Lennon next to Mayo for the early downs. Then when things get complicated, then when it's like third and five and a team really starts throwing out, the gadget plays or, really disguising their looks, Brewski comes on the field because he's just smarter now than
I don't
Lennon.
Know that you'll see Brewski on the field a lot.
I think you see Gary Guyton in those situations because of his speed. I don't know if Lennon's an every down player. I don't really know a lot about Lennon. I understand your point about that. I know that he's an NFL player because he's been in the league for 7 years and he's had significant seasons. But I don't know. I didn't watch the Lions. You could be right, Fred. I mean, that defense was probably on the field exponentially so much more than the average NFL defense that you're going to make your share of fumbles and plays. I don't know. I don't want to take that away from him. But I don't know what kind of player he is. I don't know if he's an every down guy.
He was
a
decent player in Green Bay too.
I don't know what. No, I'm saying that's what we know of him from his career. He's had significant NFL seasons, but I don't know if he's a guy that's going to step in here and be able to play every down, or if he's a guy that's a situational guy more in the line of Gary Guyton last year. Maybe he takes Gary Guyton's role. I don't know.
I don't think so.
But I don't see Brewski as being a sub package guy.
He takes reps from Brewski later in the year. That would be my guess. And Guyton, I have my questions about as well. I'm not totally sold that Gary Guyton is this no-question-asked sub-package linebacker who's going to make plays for you all over the field.
No, I think he was okay.
He had a nice start as a rookie free agent. Let's see where you go from there.
And that's also what happens if he were a second-round pick, and you got what you got out of him last year. No one will be sitting there saying, "Wow, this is really a special guy." He came in as an undrafted free agent. And played. And that's quite significant.
Well, at times.
That's quite significant for a guy who found a way right from the get-go, week one, he was out there on, I think, the first third down of the season.
I think so.
So I think that's fairly significant for an undrafted free agent. But at the same time, I think Andy's right. I don't want to get too lost in where I think he could project to. I think he's probably at best a solid NFL player, and at worst, maybe a fringe guy.
By the way, Chris with a TIAN sends us a picture of him at work, and he also has a blue, powder blue shirt on. So
all the cool people have powder blue on today.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to 4 of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow! How about
unbelievable.
That?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it, and then what a goal! Sandy Diaz!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
July 26, 2008. Classic Kirsch, part deux. Sporting his fashionable new navy blue and red Patriots training camp cap, Fred, sitting in the row directly behind me, leans over and says, "Eric, I was just thinking, this hat is really stiff." He takes the cap off, realizing he left the cardboard filler in the front of the hat. Fred removes the cardboard and tosses it on a nearby table, laughing. He follows up with, "Actually, I kind of liked it with the cardboard in there. I might put it back in. Is this the man?"
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
We're on there, and we're a lot easier to find now. You scroll down, we're dead center of this. Well, I don't know what it'll be like on Thursday when we have
it could be totally
total redesign. I'm sure all hell will break loose.
What are you talking about?
The blog. You clearly weren't listening. See, when I come out of break, sometimes I reference what the listener just heard in the break.
Yeah, blog is good.
Blog is good.
Shunga punga.
Fred Flintstone checking in.
Must have meat.
Barney Rubble.
All right, so Friday, Paul had his party, and we were all there. Well, Eric wasn't. What happened, Eric?
Talk about the party first.
He just finished his voicemail that he left for me.
Was it really that bad?
Oh, it had to go on for days.
It didn't seem like it to me.
So, do you have it?
What, a rambling voicemail?
No, I ran out of memory on my phone. I had to delete it.
Oh, Paul had a great party. Catered affair. Food was phenomenal, and I was so hungry driving up there.
How hungry were you?
Oh, man.
All right, Fred, it's very nice of you to be so complimentary, but I still have to take a rocket shot at you anyway. As is normally the case, everybody brought something, even though it really wasn't necessary, because as you guys all know, we had way too much of everything. The food was way more than we needed.
It's because people like Eric didn't show up.
I told everybody, and I'm sure of it, that I was having a barbecue. It was a catered barbecue. We had burgers,
dogs, chicken.
I don't
remember the word catered
chicken,
in there.
He told you.
But what difference would it make if it was catered or not?
I told you because you sat in that chair and responded to the email and didn't give him a number for people. And I said he needs a number because he's getting it catered and he has to tell them how many.
So burgers, dogs, chicken, ribs, all kinds of salads, potato salad, pasta salad, watermelon, corn on the cob, you know, just a regular spread.
Right.
So what does Fred bring? Everybody brought, like, you know, six-pack here, a dessert there, cookies, brownies. Fred shows up with hamburgers.
No, here's what I figured.
You brought hamburgers to a barbecue.
But listen to me.
That was catered.
I realized that you would probably have more than you already needed for that type of food.
He wanted burgers that night, so he bought them and then brought them to Nikki.
The gift of meat is a good gift.
Normally, as you know, Fred,
Eric's never marked it down.
So I'm all for it.
I said put them in the freezer and use them some other time.
I did. I put them in the freezer and they will not go to waste.
Right. So someday you're going to take out those burgers and go, wow, this is good.
I will. And I'm sure they're very good. And I'm sure they're better than the ones I normally grill, which is just, you know, your average, you know, Bubba burgers that are frozen.
I don't know. Bubba's pretty good.
I thought you were going to say, Fred, that if anything were to run out, it would most likely be the burgers because people wouldn't think to bring those extra ones.
See, I could see Fred over there with the caterers as they're cooking. Like, listen, what kind of meat are you using? You really ought to use these right here.
First of all, I was on my own. Okay, my wife had to work at 5. You know, the kid had stuff to do, so I'm not good at
the kid. What are you, Rocky?
I'm not good at, you know, thinking of what to bring, and I always find that when you go to these barbecues, everybody brings cookies and bread, and there's just so much of that stuff. It's like you can't really eat it all. So I figured, look, I know they're gonna have burgers there. So just in case he has them, but they can always put them in the freezer, and it's a good thing to have.
Or if they're running low, you got extras.
Right. And then I brought a cooler with my Heineken.
Well, you did roll up with your little roly cooler behind you.
And that was the second part that I was going to get to. I also told everybody, listen, I'm pretty plain and simple. I'm going to have Miller Lite, and I asked Fred, because I know Fred likes Sam Adams, so I asked him specifically what kind of Sam Adams. I got a 12 of Boston Lager and a 12 of Summer Ale.
Wow, that many?
Yeah.
What, you think I was going to get drunk?
No, but I know that, like, David Silverman was coming. He likes that. Brian Lowe likes Sam. There was a few left over of each of those, but had you not brought your Heineken, probably a lot less. Fred, everybody brought their own. I said, that's what I'm going to have, Miller Lite, Sam Adams, and soda. So if there's something specific that you want outside of that, bring your own, alcohol of choice. Christina Acker brought
like a blender thing,
a little Sex in the City kit that, you know, from Samantha and Carrie Bradshaw.
It's called Sweet Teenies.
They were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, she calls them her signature drink.
Do you sit down and go to the bathroom?
Right,
because that's what you had to do to drink that.
You really have to drink a lot to have a signature drink, you know?
Yeah. So, yes,
that's a good point. But anyway, that was an example. That was outside of the box of what I had. She brought her own.
And I told
Fred
her to break up with her boyfriend.
Fred brings a mini keg. What did you do? You told her to break up with her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Why? To go out with Eric?
No, I just... She was explaining
the
travel.
Was the I wouldn't have minded that.
Her boyfriend lives in Atlanta, and, you know, it's back.
It's very inconvenient.
I said to her, get rid of him.
Dump him.
This is appropriate talk.
Did you put in the radio show?
I missed that talk.
Did you put in a good word, Fred?
For you?
Yeah.
No.
If you were there...
trying to be a little more realistic.
Eric, if you were there, I might have been helped you out a little bit more, but the fact that you weren't there, I was very disappointed.
Well, I didn't purposely boycott his...
So what happened? Your car broke down?
Yeah.
What kind of story is that?
It's
I got to tell you.
Couldn't come up with anything better than that.
That's what happened.
What happened?
What are you pointing at over there?
Larry Izzo from like 1981 is on TV. Not that old, but he's very young.
That was Izzo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, totally didn't look like
it. What happened to your car?
Look at him.
That's
like a little baby.
He does look like a baby.
I want to point this out for you, Eric. I was the only one, and I'm not even lying. I was the only one who bought your story. Everybody else is like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I came over to Paul's side after
some
thinking.
I just said, if you didn't want to come, I invited everybody. If you didn't want to go, wouldn't you make up a story beforehand to say, this is why I'm not going? Why would you say
I'm not going
then make up a story? That's what I'm saying. You make up a story, I'm not going.
Or you'd say your car broke down.
I've been having car trouble. I got the only day I can get it fixed.
What happened to your car?
Something stupid.
A few weeks ago, I had to take it in because it was overheating.
Yeah.
And I brought it in as an emergency thing, and it was like it was a morning of work one day, and I said, you know, I need to get to work. You know, can you move me up ahead quickly or whatever? And they were like, yeah, we'll take care of it. They fixed
like,
it.
Yeah, no one else has to work. Boy, well, what a pompous ass.
Right. So I get it fixed within like an hour and a half or so, and they're like, okay, yeah, we had a part line around, you're all set, you can go. So I'm thinking, okay, great, and I got to work a little late that day.
Is this a place you'd normally bring it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so...
Is this a dealer or a...
You hear how long this has taken? This was my voice
mechanic. Just a regular mechanic?
No, it's a dealership.
Okay.
So I'm driving up there, and I remember that I had forgotten something at my desk. Which I needed, so I stopped at the office first, And as I get back on the highway to get back up to head to Paul's, the thing starts steaming again. So I pull off to the side, lift the hood. The thing is just going crazy. And I'm like, I just had this thing fixed. So I call AAA, get the tow, go back to the dealer. And I'm like, I was just here a few weeks ago. And the guy was like, yeah, I remember. And so I'm like, well, what are you doing to me here? So they take it in back. They look at it. They're like, oh, yeah, the part we gave you must have been defective or whatever because it's already worn out. And I'm like, well.
What part was this?
I don't know. I'm not I don't know anything about.
You don't ask?
No. I just.
I would think that
he was just the damsel in distress.
No, they said they weren't gonna. They said they weren't gonna charge me for anything. So I'm like, whatever. Just get it done. I was trying to get it done in time so that I could at least get there, but they didn't. You know,
see,
they didn't get it done
you,
in time. So,
but see, you were very meticulous about mostly everything, and I would expect that you'd be also very meticulous about your car.
I have never been a car person.
No, but you'd make sure that it's. Gets the proper tune-ups and it's
oh, clean. I take it for its regular checkups and all that. I do all that stuff, but I don't know cars. I don't know engine stuff. I don't know any of that. So that's never been anything I've been interested in.
Yet you buy one of the most sophisticated cars to upkeep in a Saab.
That's just what my family's always bought.
It's a tough car to, it's an expensive car to maintain.
It is.
Yeah.
They don't really break down that often, though. So anyway, they said, well, we don't have any of these whatever it was, lying around, so we have to...
How long are we going here?
So you don't even remember what he said?
I don't know it, Fred. I don't know what this stuff is.
Anyway, so Eric didn't make the
so
party.
I didn't know it. I didn't make it. Because they had to keep my car car for the weekend. And then the worst part about it, I told Paul when I came in, was I get home and I'm thinking, well, at least I'll have the box of cannoli that I can bring into Paul on Monday. And I had forgotten it in the back seat of my car, so it was in the car all weekend long. I get there to pick it up on Monday, and it's... a smell that you don't want to.
Such an idiot. Always leave the car or take the cannolis.
That's right.
Yeah.
Leave the gun.
I left the car and I left the cannolis.
Leave the gun.
The cannoli's a good detail to add to the story, though. I think that really sells it.
I promised him that the other day.
No, I know, and that's what sells it.
Yeah.
Buy anything.
But
aside
from some shaky weather, I think we pulled it off. It was a good time.
It was a great time.
Music could have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah, dip.
Oh.
Forgot about this.
So that's the other thing. I do want to get the emails in a second, but Doctor
That was our music for the day right there.
Our radio producer, in-house radio producer, brings the music and forgets a wire.
And it was all him, too.
We had no music.
He had a speaker the size of Paul.
I didn't even think about it. Doc very nicely came to me and said, hey, listen. Do you have anything outside, music? You have any speaker? I can bring, the system, whatever. Long story short, he brings, as Andy said, a speaker bigger than Andy's head and doesn't have the cable that connects to it. So we had nothing. No music.
The sad thing is I spent probably a good hour before I drove up there picking the music for the day. I had a whole iPod, 2.5 hours worth of music, and I get there to plug the thing in. And the cable's gone. And when I came back here on Sunday for the soccer game, the cable's really gone. I have no idea where it is.
So it's somehow lost. So somewhere between here and my house.
Somewhere between here and my in the parking lot, the cable disappeared.
Boy.
So what's going to happen with your car? Are you going to get a new car? They have that new clunker deal. You can bring in the car and get $4,500.
No, I don't think his car qualifies as a clunker.
I think it's relatively 2007. New.
It's a 2007?
Yeah, I got it in January of 2007.
And it's overheating like that twice?
Because there was the faulty part, whatever the hell the thing
was.
You
can get anything can be. I mean, Paul's
the only
car
thing
makes
I'm, only thing I'm a little worried about
noise.
Is the, Saab is
I gotta get
up
that
for
six
sale
this week.
As part of the whole GM restructuring thing, and I don't know who's going to buy it and what
somebody
that,
over there
mean for.
It's going back over there.
Well, maybe. I mean,
no, I read that. Somebody, where's it from? Switzerland or
Sweden.
One of those? Somebody locally in Sweden wants to purchase it, I believe. And they're kind of dealing with the offer at this point.
Should probably look at a zip car or something like that. That'd be good for you.
The hell's a zip car?
If you're not interested in maintaining or getting to know,
it's called
a
death
your
trap.
Car, you should probably get something that doesn't require you to maintain.
No, a zip car
I like
is
the
a
car.
spread.
Hmm?
I don't have a problem with the car.
You like why the car, you, but it's above
not,
your head.
I'm not a car enthusiast.
It's not good for you because you're not going to take care of it.
But why do you take care of it?
Why do you have to know a lot about cars?
To own it?
Why do you have to know a lot about cars to own it?
Well, if you're going to have a sophisticated car like a Saab, you should, you know.
What is so sophisticated about it? It has an engine. It has a gas pedal. It has brakes. Just because it's well-made doesn't mean it's sophisticated.
It's made by...
it has power windows.
It's made from people who make jet engines, right?
I don't think,
that's their slogan.
That's kind of their history, not really their present. It's a car.
It's probably a little bit more car than you can handle.
Is that right? Is that right? Eric, do you find yourself like losing control on the highway?
No, I don't.
No, I'm sure, I'm talking about just you know, the upkeep and the maintenance and all that.
The upkeep is fine, Fred. You have service every 5,000 miles.
You're pulling over on Route 1 with the engine steaming. It's a two-year-old car.
It was a bad part.
You think that every time you see a woman driving an SUV, you get out of the way and you're like, that's too
much
car
for
you,
honey. 44,000? 43,000? Something like that. 43,000? Yeah.
Probably look at, you know, something like a Nissan or a Toyota.
I'm happy with it, Fred. Yeah. I like the car. And I take it in on its scheduled service every 5,000.
Yeah. I don't think it's right for you. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482. John from Dallas
Again,
is on the phone. John,
it.
How
it's
you
not...
doing?
Doing okay. How you guys doing?
Great.
Johnny boy.
Hey,
John.
What's going on?
What do you got? You worried about Crable?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
talk to you next
week. You're going to be okay.
So what do you got today?
I'm just trying to be optimistic. I was just wondering, given the current roster, do we have any flexibility, specifically with Guyton? Could he go outside?
I don't think so.
They tried him out there last year, and it was a disaster. Now, that's one time. I'm not saying that I would completely close the book on it, but
he's not prototypical.
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily has that
length.
Game.
They like those long 6'4 guys on the outside.
6'4,
and he's not...
250, 260-ish.
And he's listed as 6'3.
6'3, 242.
Yeah, that's generous.
6'3, yeah. I say he's 6'2 and change.
And change.
Yeah. Okay. So I think he's a little small for that, but he definitely has the speed for it.
And he could be an emergency guy. I just think if you're planning for the season, you don't plan for him there.
Seattle. It was Seattle because that was the game that the old geezers came back.
Colvin
and all of a sudden, he was out there. And what's the name of the fullback that was?
Weaver.
That Weaver guy for Seattle.
Zonka or Weaver. I got confused that day.
Andy and I were trying to figure out who this guy was and why he hadn't rushed for 1,500 yards on the year.
Seven per touch.
And they immediately took Guyton off that edge and put Colvin and Seau in the game. And, you know, things improved a little bit. But I'm not sure that he's necessarily suited for that.
He played outside at Georgia Tech, but more of a traditional outside.
Yeah, in a 4-3.
So
if the if the Pats line up in a 4-3, I'm not saying they're going to do it to start, but if they do it, he could shift outside.
But that's really an inside linebacker in the way the Patriots play. Even if they play 4-3, they're having those linebackers are playing two gap responsibilities, and they're taking on guards and doing that stuff that the inside guys do in the 3-4. It's not setting the edge like the way you would think of like Dallas Thomas and Mike Vrabel doing in the past.
Yeah, hey, do you guys know year to year how many players they keep on the roster for the defensive line? It looks pretty heavy right now. I was just wondering if that's typical.
Usually like about six.
Probably seven. I don't have
six
my
or
chart.
Seven.
Yeah, we have
chart.
A chart. We always run that story year to year, the positional breakdown. I would say it's right around seven.
Okay.
I mean, they had six defensive linemen last year that recorded statistics. The three starters, in addition to that, Jarvis Green, Mike Wright, and Lee Kevin Smith. Yeah. Those six guys recorded at least a tackle during the course of the year on defense. You know, maybe add another guy to that mix and say seven defensive linemen, but not too many more than that.
Yeah, it looks like they've got something like nine on the depth chart right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, during training camp.
Yeah, and they drafted a few players.
Yeah. So. Every position has a boatload.
Yeah, you gotta have enough for
this
practice.
Point. Right.
You got to have two squads of almost everything. Mm-hmm. So
last question. What's the over-under on Chung starting by week three?
By week three.
Under.
Now, you
does
figure,
under mean he won't? Under,
I don't know, but that's what I want.
You figure the current starters are
over.
Merriweather.
More than week three.
And Sanders, right?
That's what I would think, yeah.
I think it'll stay that way for
most of the season.
Now,
I think if those two guys are healthy,
which one of if one of them could be beaten out by Chung, who do you think it would be?
Merriweather.
Merriweather.
I would say Merriweather.
I think
my affinity for James Sanders is well known.
I agree. The only thing I'm wondering about is, are Chung and Sanders similar?
Right.
And maybe you want more of a rangy guy. I don't know. But
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Chung's kind of a. Actually, I think he's a better hitter than Sanders.
Well, that's what he's billed as.
Yeah.
I'm going to reserve judgment until I see him play. But,
college, right?
But I certainly think he's billed as more of a strong safety
than I'm saying,
which Merriweather is a free safety / corner for some of his time here in New England.
I mean, Merriweather doesn't hit anything.
That said, they've played with two strong safeties for quite a bit over the last couple of years with Harrison and Sanders playing together a lot.
Okay, so that tells us that if Chung is the real deal, he beats out Sanders.
No, I think he would beat out Merriweather, and I agree with Andy and Eric.
Can I weigh in on that?
Sure.
Okay.
So, okay, I think I'm just going.
Please insert 5 cents.
Magic Uh-oh. Jack again, huh?
Yeah. So I think Chung.
Hold on.
Well, let's see.
Come on, Don.
John from Dallas.
You lose that wire, too?
Let's call back and we'll get you on a different line. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to some emails.
We got to get him back.
Because that was really getting interesting.
No, seriously.
No, I know.
What? He was right in the middle of making a point, and I don't know where he was going.
Tom from Leominster writes in. He says, a fairly new listener, new emailer, big fan of the show since I started listening, good topics, witty banter, and Andy and I have the same agreements on all topics, including the debate. Wow. Okay, my question is, who would you rather keep on the Patriots? The stipulation is that hypothetically, before the season, one of each pairing cannot be kept. Who would you rather keep, Wes Welker or Dalis Thomas?
Wes Welker.
I'll just swallow the mic. Welker, I guess.
That's a little tougher than you think.
It's a good question.
It's a very tough one.
I got to go with Thomas. And it's not because it's not because of the reasons you think.
Of course you do.
You're left with Moss.
No, I know.
You take away Thomas. We just spent the first 25 minutes of the show talking about the questions.
That's why it's a good question.
I think the other side of that is Welker
because
you're already patching your defense.
Yeah.
Do you really want to weaken your offense?
Right. But someone else catches, 60 or 70 balls instead of 110.
Richard Seymour.
Dime a dozen, loose change.
it's not the player.
And I like it because it's an overachiever, I think, and an underachiever in New England. One guy who surpassed expectations and one who hasn't lived up to
it. But it's not the player as much as the position.
You
go 12-4 with no receivers like you did in 06 instead of 16-0 is my point.
This could be debate too.
It could be.
Yeah.
But that's not an easy one to answer.
That's a very tough one to answer. Richard Seymour or Logan Mankins?
Who do I keep?
Yes.
Richard Seymour
for the same reason.
Really?
Seymour.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to patch a guard.
Try finding 5-time All-Pro defensive linemen as opposed to finding serviceable guards.
Three, four
now, Mankins,
defensive linemen.
Before his career's ended, may be a 5-time at least.
Okay,
maybe.
Try finding 5-time Pro Bowl defensive linemen as opposed to 5-time Pro Bowl guards. I bet you.
I know
one's a lot easier to find than the other.
Yeah,
but is the defensive lineman going to be Pro Bowler from here on in?
The way he's talking,
hopefully
he could be.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's good. Fred Taylor or Joey Galloway?
Joey Galloway.
I'd rather keep Galloway.
Yeah.
Depth.
Crable or Patrick Chung?
Chung.
I think,
yeah. Ty Warren or James Sanders?
James Sanders.
Ty Warren.
Paul says Ty Warren.
That's kind of his binky. He loves him.
Sammy Morris that's or true. Brandon Merriweather?
Sammy Morris.
I'd say Merriweather. Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
Bill Belichick.
Fred or Eric?
Fred.
Even Eric said Fred. Wow.
Well done, Eric.
Those were really well thought, though. Every one of them, there was a tough
case
decision
to make for both.
Except for the last one.
One last thing. Who is your favorite for Rookie of the Year of the Pats, and who is your sleeper for that award?
Chung would be the favorite. Because I think he has the best chance to come in, and I think Butler's not a sleeper. He'd be my number two.
I think Vollmer's going to be the guy.
There's no tackle winning Rookie of the Year.
I'm going to go with Butler.
Particularly sleeper? Ones that are going to be inactive every week.
Sleeper
that's
who's
not
really...
I don't know. I think he means just Patriots.
For the Patriots. Yeah, Patriots Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be Vollmer either way.
He might be.
But the sleeper who's not really a sleeper...
Is there another guy out of the second round that could be...
He's not a sleeper, but he is a sleeper. Is Edelman
able to play?
Everybody's talking about him, but he's still a seventh round pick. So if he's your best overall rookie, I think he's a sleeper.
No, he would be even a though, definite candidate.
Well, but
I
he's not a sleeper because the Globe's been giving him a ball washing since day one.
He's a sleeper. Let's clean it up a little bit. Fred already, you know, started the show.
Just so you know, that was the cleaner of the two choices I had in my head. the other round with B.J. Johnson.
P.S., how about bringing Ding and Dong back on? I know people are against it. Yes, they didn't do much, and they made some dumb comments, but the comedy that came after when all of you ripped them was worth it. I would like to see them on the show with all of you. It would be chaos. What happened? These are the interns?
They listen. Yeah, they listen live too. So Chris is probably
He's been begging to get back on.
Around that 2 weeks. Around the
yeah, who's
right
this
now?
From?
He's probably he's
that's
a,
probably Chris.
I never saw
Thomas
a guy
from Leominster.
He's in love with the sound of his own voice. So he probably
too bad he didn't have anything to say.
They didn't do well when they were on.
They didn't have a lot to say.
No, it's tough. It's a lot harder than
was that
it
during
sounds.
The Paul Solo show too.
That was the second hour of the Paul Solo show.
Which made everybody
which
want
wasn't,
the first hour.
By the
hour.
Way, really a solo show because I had Brian Lowe for the first hour and right. Ding and Dong for the second.
Well, for most people, it was only the second half hour because they all turned it off at 1:30 saying it was the worst half hour they'd ever heard.
Okay.
It's true.
Not to be mean.
Well, not
I
really
am,
to
I
you.
I am standing right
they
here.
Listened, they listened to the first hour with you. It was clearly the interns that dragged you down.
What, we got a phone call?
John's back.
John was in the middle of breaking down Meriwether, Sanders, and Patrick Chung.
John.
That's your cue, John.
I'm here. Sorry about that. I think I had problems with my phone.
Yeah, you didn't put enough money in the payphone.
Are you using Magic Jack?
Yeah, I am.
You really? That's twice this show we've had problems with callers on Magic Jack.
Drop out and then the button pushing
instead
on the last
of,
one.
Instead of making fun, can we get, before he loses
it again? Progress brought to you by Magic Jack.
Yeah, look into that.
Magic Jack. All right, go.
So anyway, we're doing the over and under on Chung starting, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I was saying was, I think Chung is a more physical player than Meriwether. Right.
I would agree with that.
Build and I think he's got, and I think just what I've seen, I think he's got better coverage skills than Sanders.
I don't know about that only because I haven't really seen him play, but I don't think coverage is Sanders' strong suit. So I would probably agree with you.
So if he's somewhere in between, what's the over under? Who does he start? Who does he replace? I guess.
I think if both of those guys are healthy, I'm not sure that he's going to replace anybody
this
year.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think those two are going to start.
I think those two are going to be the starters. Now, I think there could be times that Chung is out there in addition to those two.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a good chance those three are part of your top five.
That's what I'm saying. So there could be certainly games that you open with five DBs.
Like in the previous years when you had Sanders, Harrison, and Meriwether would come on the field. Something very similar to that.
Yeah, I like that situation there. I mean, I know that's it's hard to say because Chung hasn't played yet, but I like what I've read and you know what little highlights I've seen. I think that could be a nice three-man rotation at safety. You obviously think one of those guys is not long for the starting job, though, John.
Yes, I do.
Which one?
I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but I think it's going to be Sanders.
And why do you think that?
I don't know. I just think based on what I've seen, again, this is all college tape, I think Chung's a better overall player.
But I like Sanders.
Well, he could be a better overall player than both of them.
And but did the skills match up is also the question.
See, I like I think Sanders is where he's supposed to be, and I think that's what I like about him. He's solid, and I don't necessarily think that about Meriwether.
Well, you can't think that because he's not. He may be.
Especially for a first-round pick.
I mean,
I would expect that he was going to play a much higher level than what he's playing right now.
He was a little slow to develop. He had a nice, but I think somewhat overrated year last year. He had the two big strip sacks late, caught the ball when it hit him in the chest.
He made some plays, which
he did, but he also gave up some plays. He bounced off people.
He may have cost him the playoff with that missed tackle on Dustin Keller.
But if he makes the gains this year that he made last year in a similar way, now I think you're talking about a first-round caliber safety.
Let me ask you a question. Since Belichick has been here, you know, 2000, other than Rodney Harrison, who in your mind was the most solid safety on this team?
Probably for the first couple of years
Lawyer.
Of Eugene Wilson.
Oh. Eugene what about Wilson? Lawyer?
Well, I mean,
Lawyer
are you counting him?
I'm counting Lawyer, but he was
Lawyer.
Gone.
He was fine.
Lawyer played 3 years for him.
3 years?
Yeah.
But he
And if we're counting him, he was good.
Was he as good as James Sanders is now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love James Sanders more than anyone.
I'm not talking about Lawyer Malloy's career. I'm just talking about the time that Belichick was here.
He was every bit as good, I think, better.
In 2001, Lawyer Malloy played a great safety. I mean, he did. I mean, I know that it's kind of blasphemous because he said bad things about us when he left, but...
Hey, Lawyer.
It didn't stop you from sucking up to him in Atlanta. He had a great year in 01.
And Eugene Wilson early on was
now he 02 was the year that, you know, no sacks, no fumbles, no all right. that year he got some postseason accolades that year that he really didn't deserve, but in 2001 he was involved in a lot of big plays.
Okay.
Now it may not have been statistic, you know, 8 interceptions or anything like that, but that's never the style that he played. Just around the ball
a lot. I think what I'm trying to get to, maybe it's kind of a hypothesis, is that this is a really difficult system for a safety. You have to be really on the ball mentally to succeed in this system.
Because it was really messed up.
I don't necessarily think that there's anything to dispute that, other than, you know, Eugene Wilson, as a rookie, stepped in and excelled in it without really taking one rep as a safety the entire summer. He was a cornerback until Antoine Harris pooped the bed opening day. And then Eugene Wilson stepped in for the last 15 weeks of the season, and he played very well. It wasn't just he filled a starting role. He made plays.
But that might just be a one perfect, you know, he might have had enough background that was similar, whatever. It might have been the perfect storm. I mean, I think Merriweather would certainly play into your theory.
Yeah.
The way he struggled is, I mean, there were reports that they were going to consider cutting him and that he wasn't going to play. It was just an utter disappointment. And then he started playing, and now he looks pretty comfortable out there. So there could be something to the importance of the level of football mentality you need to get on the field.
Yeah, because Rodney was a whole, I mean, that guy, he just got it. You know, he was just totally into, and they asked him to do so many different things, and he did them all well.
Yeah.
You know, from playing face up on the line of scrimmage to being a deep rover.
Rodney in 03 and 04 was better than Lawyer in 01. I mean, Rodney made more of an impact at that position, you know, kind of like Ed Reed. I mean,
if he goes in the Hall of Fame, it's 03-04 is kind of the poster of his ability to play the game of football.
Totally different style than Ed Reed, but he made more impact plays those 2 years than any safety I've ever seen.
Yep.
Yeah, but he also came here. He had like 10 years under his belt.
Yes. Well, I would say those are the two factors in Rodney. Is he was a veteran, had a lot of experience, and B, just his mental makeup and drive and dedication. It's kind of why he was in the league, coming out as Western Illinois, or wherever he's from. I mean, he had a chip on his shoulder from day one, and that was part of why he worked so hard and succeeded at such a high level.
Yeah, all right, John.
Thanks for calling back.
That's great.
Big Patrick Chung.
Magic Jack. Magic Jack. Call us back.
508-543-7482. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
What did you say the last time? That's not such magic, Jack. It's not so magic, Jack.
Well, I mean, we've had two callers who use it, and both of them had problems.
Yep. Oh, this wasn't the same guy who
Dave
time?
In the different Philippines guy. Used Magic Jack.
And that's different problem.
Beep!
Luke from Manchester, England writes in, and he says, you're doing a great job as usual. I'm looking forward to your training camp coverage. One thing which has been on my mind after listening to recent shows and also other media outlets is the apparent short-term view when it comes to evaluating NFL wide receivers. For example, a few weeks ago on the show, you were talking about the 5 receivers in the NFL, and while Randy was in there, it was kind of an afterthought. Or maybe it would be more correct to say it seemed some were reluctant to do so because of his subpar season relative to what he is capable of. I have also heard him left out completely from these kinds of pre-training camp dead period discussions elsewhere. I mean, he is only 1 year removed from one of the greatest individual seasons we have ever seen, and even if his skills are Kevin Falking, the guy is still a complete and utter freak. He is not going to just lose that totally all of a sudden. Why are receivers in general not evaluated over the duration of a couple of seasons, or is it strictly what have you done for me lately? Conversely, Warren Sapp still rates him as the number one receiver according to a recent NFL.com video due to his effect on the opposition team's coverage.
I'm confused. Are we talking about us, or are we talking about other people? Why don't other people give him his due?
Did we do a poll the last show?
No,
about
Eric
You and I talked about receivers top for like
five.
The last few minutes of
in
the
like
show.
The last minute of a show, I said, Eric, give me your top five. And I made fun of him because he left off the Johnson brothers,
right?
Andre and Calvin. And
I had Moss as like my second or third receiver.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure
wasn't
Moss was
high
on your list.
Larry Fitzgerald right now is the flavor of the month, and everybody considers him the best. But I haven't seen anybody not put Randy Moss in, right in there.
Well, I think at this point, depending on what you're using as criteria, you can argue in both directions.
Now, the last show, I think we did something along the lines of one of our games that the emailers come in, they ask you this one or this one, and they said, considering right now, at this stage of their career, would you rather have, you know, some young guy or Randy Moss? I forget who it was. But the choice was basically between
2 years of Moss and 5 to 8 years of
someone
some
else
young guy.
Who is not nearly as talented as Moss, but you're going to have him long term. Right. And I think we all picked the guy you're going to have long term. And maybe that was perceived to be a swipe at Moss, but that was only based on his, his career at this point, his experience.
Right.
But yes, if you're evaluating now, it's the here and now, not.
Right.
I mean,
if you're
going to
ask
Jerry Rice, would be my answer
Larry
for every
Fitzgerald
one. Larry
Fitzgerald or Randy Moss, I got to take
Larry
Fitzgerald. You know,
he's going to be around longer. If I would rather have Calvin Johnson than Randy Moss, it would be Calvin Johnson.
Right. Andre Johnson. It'd be Andre Johnson.
But do I think that Randy Moss, you know, at his best is better than
like
those guys?
Johnson.
Yeah, I do.
But ask me if I think, you know, Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer. Randy Moss a Hall of Famer.
Randy
Moss, Calvin
yeah.
Johnson isn't yet.
And,
not yet.
And
Randy Moss may be number two all time.
And I made the argument before he played a down for the Patriots that I thought Randy Moss was already in the Hall
of
Fame.
He
was a Hall of Fame
it.
Receiver when he came
his
here.
His career here
and this was just,
has cemented
this was just, you know, making sure that
cake.
Making
yeah.
he walks in first ballot. You know,
but
now.
I also think you can argue, based on the expectation that he's on the decline, that he has peaked. He had his best season 2 years ago. Last year we saw him drop some balls that I don't think we would expect Randy Moss to drop. I think you can argue that he's going downhill. I'm not saying he's going to fall off a cliff and catch six passes for 100 yards
yeah,
this year.
Absolutely
he's
not.
Definitely on the decline. He
right.
has to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And but
that's,
I still
that's
think
part
his,
of the scenario.
His decline is still pretty
right.
good. That's
right.
the thing.
Exactly. Let's see. Dermot, you know, from Dublin, he's now from Paris. He's moved.
Wee-wee.
He lives in Paris now.
You have to wee-wee?
Oh. No.
Wow, even
see,
Eric,
see
was,
in
even
Europe,
Eric chastised me for
moving
that one.
From Dublin to Paris is like moving from Boston to New York here. You know, it's geographically.
Oh, okay. I'm yeah. glad you clarified that.
But
there are
some country.
People who would be very mad at you for saying that.
No, I know. It's a different country, but geographically, it's not
why
as.
Why would you get what?
No, you know the Boston-New York rivalry. Some people would think, you know, it would be an upgrade moving from.
Which
New
is
York
better?
To
what
Boston.
Are we talking about? Not is Paris better than Dublin?
No, not necessarily.
Oh.
See, Fred dug himself into a hole.
Yeah,
I think
I
he
no, I'm just saying
well,
geographically.
Yeah,
you're
I,
like,
I
got, wow, we moved from Ireland to Paris.
Oh, just in proximity.
Yeah,
oh,
right,
okay.
right, right.
Well, that's how it is in a lot of places around the world. I mean, all those countries
right.
are packed in. And
that's why we're the greatest country, because we have such a big land mass for one country, all the natural resources.
Otherwise, we couldn't fit Paul. Oh.
Well.
Or your head.
Hey.
Let's see. Anyway, Dermot says, thanks for continuing the excellent work this offseason. Fred, I have a suggestion. Question and a suggestion. First, why is it that a throwback T-shirt that I wish to don for the season opener, seeing how long it takes to get my issue of PFW delivered, I thought I'd leave plenty of time, cost $95 to post to France when the T-shirt itself costs $25. I can only presume that for
shipping.
That price, Giselle is going to hand deliver it in a Ferrari naked. If you can confirm this, then I will proceed with my purchase. However, it is fair to assume that this represents that monkey Chris Ferreira's buffoonery at play once more.
No.
Chris
that,
has nothing,
that
to,
has
do
nothing
with
to do with Chris.
No. Chris has nothing
shipping
to do with the
handling.
Pro shop or shipping or handling or pricing or anything like that.
Tariffs. But that sounds like an email for
tariffs.
You.
That's for the new pro.
He breaks into
going
like
back to fifth grade history.
No, that's when we
taxation
have
without representation
save,
is unfair.
Can we save this email for
the
new
pro
shop show?
Yeah. Doc, put that in the can for the pro shop. Not that can.
Stop it.
Second, is there
it's any, really $95?
I with shipping, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Why would he make that up?
$75 shipping?
Well, it is plausible that Chris Ferreira screwed something up and the wrong number is printed.
This is the guy in Paris?
Yes.
He's talking about?
Yes.
Well,
I still say
overseas shipping could be a lot.
Why don't we bring stuff over there and sell it for 50
Because I don't think we could do that.
Everyone would do that, and you would
get
avoid
in trouble.
All the tariffs.
Words you never thought you'd hear on PFW in Progress twice.
And I didn't use it.
Well, it's not a fancy word. That's why
didn't Brady go out with Tara Freed?
Unbelievable.
Tara Freed or Tara Freed?
I don't know.
That was no dumber than yours, so don't give me that look.
Second, is there any chance you could give Andy more holidays? The Andy
yes.
Free shows are always a bonus, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind the extra time off.
I wouldn't, you drunk.
This is, after all, the man who claims,
Paris,
and I quote,
now.
That
Paris now,
live music's overrated. In fact, music's overrated in general.
That is what
I
said.
I do, however, look forward to discussing these matters in personal with him in October in London.
Stay
if
away.
His passport application isn't rejected because his head won't fit into the picture.
Passport,
what are you
huh?
going to do now that you can't drink as much? You French fairy.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
He started it.
You know, he didn't have any names like that for you.
That's true.
That's not good.
That's the way he fights.
Yeah, he does. He just doesn't
fight fair.
No.
Bill Berry, Paul's favorite
emailer.
It's become Bill
best emailer ever.
He says, in case you can't say anything relevant, can you say Brady was on the field with Moss? Maybe this last bit of dead time crap helps. First, I want to be accurate when I make fun of you guys. Is Paul the chicken calzone guy?
No,
my apologies,
Andy.
If that is Fred or something. Well, you have chicken calzones.
Yeah, but
too.
it's Andy's staple diet.
Andy gets it every day. I usually get
it today. By the way, thank you, strippers, for lunch today. I had a tremendous roast beef sub and order of fries.
I had some turkey. It was very nice. Thank you, strippers. But no, I don't get the chicken parm calzone, Fred.
He's on a diet now.
Well, even when I wasn't, I usually got the pepperoni calzone, not the chicken parm.
Right.
How was
okay,
that?
Okay, so William has written a poem.
Poem?
And I am going to read the poem right now.
Go ahead.
Paul. So he has.
Why did I know it was going to start with that?
There's different sections for each of us. Paul
is fat.
There was a fat editor who liked Warren Tye, who was afraid he was likely to die. For fear that once dead, he would not be well fed, he gulped down a pig, a cow, a sheep, 12 chicken Parmesan calzones, a dozen Diet Pepsis, and a whole apple pie. Eric.
That doesn't even make sense.
Sounds like a limerick.
My apologies if someone
sounds
else
like one?
Liked Hope
said it's
Floats.
A poem.
What?
What's that now?
It's a kind of a poem. It's
the
a
email
limerick.
Says it's a limerick.
It's
oh, okay.
A freestyle type of limerick poem. Eric.
Type of limerick poem.
My apologies if someone else liked Hope Floats. His artistic success was waning.
Yeah, that
was
amazing.
An artist, he kept maintaining. Art is in quotes, as in Hope Floats. The reason was he had no formal artistic training.
I have no formal artistic training.
Yeah, I don't know where you got the Hope Floats from.
Fred.
That was from Floats. That was from Golic. Mike Golic said that was one of the movies that he walked out of.
Oh. Yeah.
Wait,
Barry hasn't. No, I had never seen it. But Barry hasn't been listening to the shows very carefully lately.
Fred, I dream of guys without pants, which I hear is acceptable in France.
Dermot.
I'll say no mo, the talk of fried dough. Then start one of the Eric is gay rants. I have no problem with Eric being gay. Andy.
No, Andy's the one with the problem.
Right.
I don't have a problem with it.
Eric
is not gay.
Oh.
Eric has a problem with Eric being gay.
Oh, now I see.
Crying out loud.
You're not, but it would be okay if you were. I have no problem. It's not a big deal.
Right.
It's not a big deal. Andy. I'll laugh at my own jokes and make up stuff about folks, but I know as things go, this line should have been dirtier. Oaks. I don't know.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, on to the Patriots.
Did you get tired?
On to the Patriots. Pause for Paul to tell us how disappointing Andy's limerick was. We all know the malcontent.
I came through for you.
We all know the malcontent or criminal of the day gets talked about on ESPN in such as coming to the Patriots. Assuming the worst and assuming they are cut for moralistic reasons, not because he sucks, and assuming Brady or Moss or whomever is hurt or something, give us your thoughts on the following players. Roethlisberger, assuming he confesses, is cut for moralistic reasons and Brady is out, compare him to O'Connor. What? I just...
What does that mean?
It just is not making sense, William.
Got to pre-read these things. Fred.
Yeah. I don't know. He wants, you know, Chris Henry, Vic, Pac-Man. Ray
no,
Lewis.
No,
if the Patriots would take any of these guys?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Roethlisberger, no.
All these guys, to me, go under the same umbrella of, are they really worth the headache? Because we've got a pretty good team right now. We're not like the Bills looking to A, sell tickets or get over the hump.
I'm not sure Roethlisberger is even the headache category.
But he's claiming that he would be a headache because he's saying that he would be guilty. He came out and said, listen, I did it.
Once
whatever.
He did it, you know. All these people.
He's not
going to
get cut. Roethlisberger's not. I think we all have an opinion on this story, and we don't really think Roethlisberger's in trouble, really, right. Other than his reputation.
So, anyway.
Except for Fred, of course.
And Eric, who hates him.
Yeah, but Eric just thinks he's overrated.
I just don't like him as a player. I don't care about him personally.
Imagine if they brought him here and you had to be there. You had to do that. You had to listen to
tough.
Him.
That'd be tough. They won't bring him here.
No.
He is not Bill's kind of quarterback.
Not at all.
Let's see. Tony writes in, hey, guys and gals, which are Eric and Andy, first-time emailer.
Wow.
It's the summer, and I am school-free. I have a lot of free time, but instead of talking about football, here's my list of the 9 hottest girls.
Nice. Oh, good.
Number 9 is Esty Ginsburg.
No idea.
Don't know her. Ruth Bader?
Oh, number 8 is Jessica Alba.
Know her.
8? 7 is Brooklyn Decker.
Don't know. She's hot. Andy Roddick's wife there, or I think wife, right?
Really?
They just
have double deckers.
They might not be.
very good, Fred.
Good, Fred.
She's legit.
6 is Bar Raffaelli.
She's hot.
She's hot.
7 is Alessandro Ambrosio.
Don't know her.
Really true. Once you have kids, you just nothing about pop culture.
4 is Olivia Wilde.
Nothing.
Don't know her.
3 is Megan Fox.
I know her.
I think she's.
2 is Marissa Miller.
Yes, very hot.
She's pretty hot.
And 1 is Adriana Lima.
She's, I don't know if I'd put her number 1, but she's up there.
She on your wall
she's
at
up
home?
There. No, in the office.
No, but she caused something else to be.
Oh.
But was she?
What?
She's just one of those Pop-Tarts. I don't really know what she does.
Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts?
I don't know what she does.
Brown sugar cinnamon?
She's a terrible breakfast food?
She's like a model, I think.
And you know about nude models because, of course, you
didn't we talk about her like last week? That Lima,
I don't know.
That Lima.
Can
that,
people that go to
Doc? Your job
posties.
Is to get a picture of each one of those 9.
Yes.
People.
No.
Working on it.
Okay. Let's see. In color too. I don't like these black and white ones.
I only have a black and white.
I was gonna say
black
that's
white
the printer,
printer,
not the.
You really are. Without peer.
Basil. Hey Doc, go down to the store down the street. Get a box of crayons.
Hey, Kinko's.
Ever hear of Kinko's?
Can you bring the color printer that you have in your office down here for us?
I don't have a printer in my office.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I do not.
I'm not sure it's hooked up, but I think you do. Up on that thing on the right?
No, I gave that. That's junk. I threw that out years ago.
Speaking of printing, Fred, I can't print. It's been a couple of weeks.
Really?
IT, not really getting to the bottom of it either.
they spent a half hour in your office yesterday.
Twice. Today, too.
Basil writes, I'm interested in going to some of the practices for Pats this preseason. I've never been, and I'm not sure what exactly I need to do. I'm hoping that you guys could give me and any others like me a rundown of how things work. Should I show up early? Is it a madhouse? Or are things pretty calm and laid back? Thanks for any help you can offer. Well, it's a good time to bring that up since training camp is open to the public on Thursday.
Basil wants to host a party for PFW in progress, by the way.
When?
He's got a place that he runs out, I think, in Hudson.
Oh yeah,
I forget where it is, but it's like a roller palace.
Oh,
he wants to host a PFW in progress party.
A roller.
I'll grow my mullet out.
Absolutely. Get the never mind.
Get the disco ball in the middle.
Now is that roller skates or do you use roller blades?
Either one. Inline blades.
Do they still make roller skates?
That's why I was kind of.
Oh yeah.
No.
Really?
But I mean, you can just go and get them, right? I assume rent them, or whatever.
All right, so both. Anyone listening that has never been to training camp here at Gillette Stadium, it's great.
The NFL it's training camp.
There's a practice at 9:30 in the morning, and there'll be another practice at 3:45 in the afternoon.
Yep.
Parking is free.
Yep.
Once you get near the stadium, you just follow the signs, and it's just go into the parking lot. There'll be directional wayfinding signs, as they call them, that tell you where the practice fields are. There's an area called Patriots Experience with blow up stuff to do for kids, you know, the
not that kind. Not the kind Eric takes home with
the
him.
The skills type stuff, you know, accuracy and so that, you know, and you watch you get as close as you can absolutely get to a football field while you're watching. You're not watching it from any distance. You're about 5 yards from the sideline when you're watching, and there's stands and there's seating, there's concessions along the field. And this year, for the first time, Patriot Place is open. So in between practices, you can go shopping, you can go to a restaurant, you can check out the hall at Patriot Place. So it's really a cool thing. I would say it's laid back. You know,
it, but it can be busy.
But it, it can be a lot,
especially
of people,
on the weekend.
But it's not crazy. It's not like you're running around or anything.
There's only one time in practice when things get weird. Yeah. It's like, and it happens like clockwork. About 20 minutes to a half hour before the end of practice, for some reason, one or two fans start it. They all get in line at the at the rope line at the edge of the field to get ready for autographs. But they do it when there's still like a half hour left in practice.
Yeah. Well, it takes one guy to get up.
I thought
and then
that
everybody
was
else
someone does. Had kind of made a signal for that. No, they don't have like, because I know there's like the security people.
No, I don't think they do.
I think they do. But I think that you say it's laid back, but it's also a madhouse.
Right.
And I know that doesn't make any sense to say but I think there's some accuracy to that. There's a lot of people most days.
Thousands.
And when the autographs come, it's a madhouse.
Well, okay.
But while you're sitting there watching practice for the bulk of the 2 hours that you watch practice,
it's very laid back.
Very laid back.
It's not like no one's running for seating. There's plenty of seating.
No.
You can sit on the grass. Mm-hmm. You can sit in the bleachers. You know, there's no like rush to do anything. It's kind of a very relaxed atmosphere where you know, you're not going to miss much if you go get a hamburger. But like Paul's right. At the end of the practice, getting the autographs, it's a mad.
If you're looking for that
craziness.
Kind of stuff,
yeah,
it can be a little hectic. You know, you need to get in position, you need to get right up to the ropes, and you need to probably get over to the one side where they're coming off the field. But in terms of watching football, if you're really interested in the Patriots and watching, you can't find a venue better to be that close to what they're doing. Where you can actually hear stuff on the field. You can hear the coaches a little bit. You can hear the players interact with one another. And I just...
And the crowd.
Yeah.
They interact with the crowd occasionally if they get a cheer for
I think it's as good a situation
things,
as you could
good,
possibly
bad.
Get. Training camp, I mean, I wouldn't want to necessarily do it every single day, but...
Getting back to Paul's job again.
No. I'm talking about if you were coming here as a fan.
Right.
No, for us, are you kidding me? They make it so easy for us, it's fine to do every day. I'm talking about... Dealing with 5,000 people every day, but if you come here and you just want to, you want to watch practice, you want to learn a little football, you want to see them in an environment that you never get to see. You can't see that on game day.
Right.
You can't hear it. I mean, there's just too many people and you're too far away.
Word of warning: there's virtually no shade though, so bring something.
Yeah.
To
lather
bring,
on the
bring
sunblock.
Sunblock. Bring a hat. And
but it is perfect for like 7 years, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those like mid-range kids there, it's perfect.
Yeah,
for
and my nieces and nephews are.
Yeah, I would make a rule that no one over,
I agree,
18 is allowed to get an autograph, because you
that
get
should be a general rule in the world.
Grown men like reaching over
I would
little
lower,
kids
I would
trying
lower
to get
the
autographs
age myself. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's always uncomfortable to me.
First
time I had a sign for a 38-year-old guy, it was very uncomfortable.
We were discussing it actually earlier with Tippett. He went to Canton last weekend for a. Promotional autograph signing as the representative from last year's class, and he said huge lines and just a lot of shadiness with like professionals
guys
sending
going through
kids
the line
through,
more than once,
through more than once,
yeah,
trying to take pictures so they can authenticate the autograph online, and he said it was he's going back next weekend too, or is it next weekend
for
or
the induction after?
For the induction,
yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Basil also says, speaking as a one-time T.O. fan, I never want to see him on the opposing team. And if he had a better quarterback, he might already have a ring. My question is Buffalo a realistic threat this year, or are they more of the same? I didn't feel they were terribly lacking in the wide receiver department. Am I wrong?
I don't think they're much of a threat.
I don't think they're a threat.
I think they were terribly lacking in the wide receiver department beyond Lee Evans. I don't think they had a legitimate two or three option, and now... With T.O., you'd knock everybody else behind him and Lee Evans down a notch. I think that they could be a little bit better offensively. I don't think they're a threat because I don't think they're a well-balanced enough team. I think they have some decent pieces on offense and some decent pieces on defense, but not enough of either one.
How do we explain the
and terrible
start?
Coaching.
They got off to, what, a 6-0 start last year?
4-0.
4-0?
4 or 5. Something
they had
like
a fast start.
4-0.
How do we explain that? Was it just fluky?
Schedule.
Or?
Yeah, schedule. Yeah,
AFC East had the easiest schedules in football last year. It wasn't just the Patriots. It was everybody.
Yeah.
You know, they played the NFC West. If I'm not mistaken, they beat the Rams early in the year for one of those games. Well-placed, games here and there. And then, they played some other team. You know, Trent Edwards got hurt. That hurt them a little bit. That knocked them down. They got buried out in Arizona in that game. And then they started playing, the Patriots. And they lost... all of a sudden the losses started piling up.
Did you see that,
probably should have beaten Miami in that game. That really kind of spiraled them down. They dominated Miami that game down in Miami,
and turnovers absolutely crushed him.
Right.
And they really
God,
never
how
recovered.
How do you remember that stuff? Now that he says that, we were at Giant Stadium that day, right?
I don't remember that. Yeah. But, I mean, how I remember that stuff is, you know, it's kind of what you pay us to do.
Oh, no, where were we? We might have been out on the West Coast.
Anyway, I don't remember either.
I remember seeing it on TV pregame and saying, what the
They
hell?
Really outplayed yeah. Miami in that game yeah. down there. They had a long drive. It was one of those deals. The same thing happened with the Jets in Buffalo. Buffalo dominated the Jets, and again, they had the ball for like 28 straight plays and ended up being outscored like 10-0 because they had a long drive, turned it over. The Jets scored, and then they had another long drive, and there was like a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown. And before you know it, you're really controlling a game, and you're losing, and it's hard to overcome that. So they had, you know, all of a sudden, Trent Edwards, who was a guy who was known for taking care of the football through the first month or so of the season, had trouble taking care of the football.
Well, their whole thing was he was never
play.
The same.
Yeah, and if he can't play, if he's not the guy, they're stuck in mediocrity because you can't be that good without solid play at quarterback, no matter how good your team is.
Well, I think they're stuck for the short term in mediocrity because of what you said. I think, coaching, first of all, yep. and second of all, T.O., because we know he's going to be good and bad at yeah. some point.
You know, we always talk about how much
problems. And those are going to equal out. He's going to be great yep. and then terrible, yeah. and that equals out at some point.
Yeah. I totally agree with you guys. And every week we talk about, during, you know, when we write the preview and we talk here, Fred, previewing the next game, how much of an edge Bill is in various matchups and things like that. Well, there were two games that really stick out to me, and I know Andy will agree with this.
Sure, Paul.
Over the last couple of years, it was the Monday night game, I think, in 06 at Minnesota with Brad Childress, yeah. and that last game of the year last year at Buffalo, where you just watched the game and you could actually see the coaching edge. It was a visual thing that you could see, like, wow. It wasn't about, I wouldn't have gone in with that game plan, or I wouldn't have decided to go with five defensive backs on that play. It was, wow, this guy can't decide what he wants to do on third and one. Or this guy, he's unsure what he's going to do, kick a field goal or go for it on fourth down. And forget about that one in Minnesota a few years back when, geez, you know, we're the number one running defense in football. We're going to go in and stop a team that can't run the football from here to there. That made a lot of sense when Tom Brady's just completing 18 passes in a row to different guys. Those were the two ones to me that really stuck out as how much better Belichick is than the other coach every week.
Which I'm still holding against Mike Tomlin, by the way, in terms of whether he's a great coach.
Hey, Doc. Did you listen Minnesota to this new opening by Andrew in the Ukraine?
I was like, yes.
No, he's. I mean, if you're a great coach, at some point don't you say, Brad, I know we have our thing, but we're getting killed out there.
You didn't know what they do? Minnesota runs
not
the
sold on him.
Minnesota runs the Tampa 2. That's what we do. Sorry.
Page 1 of the playbook, Tampa 2. Hey, where's the rest of the playbook?
that's what we do. You know, we stop the run, we run the Tampa 2. Hey, what else? What do you want us to do? Five defensive backs?
So Andrew from the Ukraine has created a new opening for the show based on Monty Python. So let's listen to that.
This is PFW in progress.
Your Knights of the Round Table shall have a task to make them an example in these dark times.
Good idea, Odor.
Of course it's a good idea. Behold, this is the Holy Grail. Look well, for it is your sacred task to seek this grail. That is your purpose.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I am your king.
Why did he become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bink had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Paul Perillo.
This is supposed to be a happy occasion. Let's not bicker and argue about who killed who.
And Andy. And Andy?
I march in your general direction.
Andy Hart.
Go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Will you shut up? Huh? Now we see the violence inherent in the system. Shut up! Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
And the people did feast upon the lamb, whose throat, and carp, and anchovies, and orangutans, and breakfast cereals, and fruit bats.
All right, well, that's that. I thought you said you listened to that.
I did.
That's a good effort.
It was funny.
Yeah, very good.
I fought in your general direction.
By the way, Brooklyn Decker does have double deckers.
I told you.
Brooklyn Decker is the hottest in that 9-woman cast.
Holy
there.
Mackerel.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. So was Andy Roddick.
All right, so that's Andrew in the Ukraine's opening.
Decker?
On the phone,
I don't even know her.
On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Fred, your energy today is awesome. Your enthusiasm is back. The show is back together. What happened last week was an abomination. I mean, I asked you about football, and you're like, what?
Fred's busy leafing
through and making his pages sticky.
Before you hurt yourself.
So Jim, I have a question I'll ask every caller today. You worried about Sean Crable?
Jim? What'd you do? Oh,
he's on Magic Jack.
Magic Jack strikes again.
That's it, Jim. Jim's just called in to give an update on me. So
that you weren't listening to because you were dropping papers.
Jim, you'll have to call back. Let's see. Gary writes in, and he's from Columbia, Connecticut. Why do people, ESPN and Yahoo Sports, keep bringing up the fact that New England will probably be in the mix for signing Vic? We hear this time and time again, but we all know it won't happen. I don't understand why they keep bringing it up.
Because it makes for entertainment and television and discussion and all that. Well, I also don't know that it won't happen. I'm not sure it's likely, but I don't know that it won't happen.
I don't know that it won't happen either. I don't think it will, and I hope it doesn't. But
yeah, I cut ties. Why did I cut ties with him recently? Oh, the strip club thing.
Yeah. I don't know why that is, you know.
Yeah.
Why that's such a bad thing.
Another major story, just real quick. Did you see, Fred, that Brett Favre has a Sears commercial coming out?
A Sears commercial?
In which he's standing, deciding over a couple TVs.
Oh, really?
And can't Brett decide. And the guy says, the salesman says something like, you don't want to be one of those guys that has purchase, regret, and make the wrong decision. And Brett Favre goes, yeah, I hate those guys.
That's good.
On board with Brett Favre now. As long as he can laugh at himself and knows what he's doing, I'm okay with it.
He's still doing the wrong thing to
see. That's how I feel exactly the way Fred does. I think it's excellent and really funny that he's able to poke fun at himself.
Right.
Which is kind of like
what he's doing is foolish.
It's kind of why I like the Peyton Manning commercials. He's not
right. But he's acknowledging it's foolish. It's ridiculous.
But he's doing it right.
But that's okay.
But he's not changing it.
He can't help it.
Yes, he can help it.
No, he can't.
If he acknowledged that it was foolish, he would say, you know what? This is not fair to everybody involved. I'm not going to do it anymore.
And really, all he's doing is monetizing on his foolishness.
Right. So. But I'm good with that.
All right. Strippers, who, by the way, was good enough to get us lunch today from thedirty.com. I have to mention that. he says that there's breaking news, the DA is planning to indict Paul Pierce.
Oh, really?
I guess that's Pierce. Is he in trouble for something?
Not that I know
apparently, if the DA is about to indict.
But it could be Antonio Pierce. I don't know what Pierce
is. Oh, it just says Pierce?
Pierce.
Oh,
I don't know. Mary? I knew nothing about Paul Pierce, but it wasn't Antonio
That's
Pierce.
Probably Antonio Pierce.
It's got to be. Wasn't he involved in the Plaxico?
It is
Antonio.
Yes.
Oh,
it's got to
be
Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
I just said Paul Pierce.
The most
right now on Twitter, everyone's saying that Paul Pierce.
Ever done on this show.
Yeah, it's got to be involved with Plaxico Burress' case there.
Which, I laugh again, is the NHL running the criminal system in New York? Because there's an automatic 3-year jail term, right?
I think it's 2 for bringing a gun into a place unregistered.
But now they're negotiating as to it's 1, it's 2, it's going to be... What does automatic mean?
Well,
because automatic 3-year term to me means it's automatic.
But isn't this part? Is he trying to make some sort of plea?
Yes.
Deal? Well, yeah.
Then take the word automatic out of it, because
it's not automatic
if you can plea out of it.
Right.
You can negotiate.
Well, I mean, it's automatic if he's found guilty of it.
Right, but if you are, it's not automatic.
Well it hasn't gone to court yet.
But if you were caught with a gun, is he saying he didn't have a gun? He got shot accidentally? I mean,
I think the semantics is a plea equivalent to a conviction.
No, it isn't. That's why you plead.
Well, but I think that's what the question is.
Well, then it still shouldn't say automatic. I just
because
automatic
I
means something.
Well,
automatic means automatically happens.
I think automatic is dumb in and of itself. I think mandatory sentencing.
It's
I
the
don't
exact
think
same
makes a
thing
of
as
sense.
The NHL. They have an automatic 1-game suspension, except none of the guys got suspended.
But I do think
it
there's a
automatic
difference between being, if he's convicted and then they say, well, yeah, he's convicted and it's an automatic. This is what the NHL would do. Yeah, he's convicted. He was found guilty, but you know what? We're not going to make him go to jail for 3 years. 2's enough. Then that's stupid. But
see,
if he pleads out, you got to give him something for pleading out. You're avoiding the trial.
I wouldn't. I'd send him to jail. 3 years.
Mike from Bryant also says, make sure to tell people to call the hotline, 508-549-7262. 0001 the morning they plan to go to training camp, especially if inclement weather is in the forecast. That's a good point.
Indeed.
I'll give that hotline.
Or log on to PDC.
I will tell them.
Proper.
Good call right there.
508-549-0001 is the hotline.
549?
Yep.
I'll
or
add
you
that into
can
my
now
SPSW
log
answer.
On to Patriots.com and check it there or follow Patriots.com on Twitter.
Let's check it out.
So there's several ways that you can keep updated with the latest practice.
Good.
Check it out. And P.S. is Mike. He likes the new CBS Scene menu. Have you checked out the new menu, guys?
Yes. No. I critiqued it while it was being made.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Well, on paper, it looked good.
I was there. And it
I did check out the menu.
What did you
we
have?
Had it one day.
I had the
Buffalo
Wings.
Solo show, we had it.
Buffalo Wings or Popper Hopper?
No,
things.
Buffalo Wings.
Those were
Buffalo
no good. Things. Yeah. Thumbs down on those.
I'm going to have to try myself. I'm sorry. I can't take your word for it.
Well, I still say that it's like Bass Pro. They need to just cook them a little. I like mine a little crispy. You know,
but what
Andy, I can understand. I'm not a good authority when it comes to fat guy food.
We have different tastes sometimes. You're overly critical.
Who is?
You don't eat pizza from a supermarket.
Who does?
Well, that was just that was like ingesting garbage right directly into you.
DiGiorno's very good.
I'm not talking about that. If you're going to have frozen pizza or whatever, there's plenty of different things.
No, from an actual supermarket. Buying
the pizza from Big Y is not my...
That's the time that you boycotted someone's birthday party.
My
own!
You
didn't like the food.
His own. Yeah. It was his own,
so
actually.
So the people were nice enough to buy you something, and you kissed them.
Wrong. All right, listen. There's 25 minutes left in the show. We got time for a Pauly rant. It was my money and my birthday.
So
and they went and bought it at a supermarket.
So they did the best they could, and you didn't like it.
I could have gotten my oil changed to Jiffy Lube and had the same
You took the ball and went home.
I did nothing.
He pulled a Perillo. That's what we call it.
I lost my money. I didn't get to share my birthday lunch with anybody. So if that's taking your ball and going home, I'm guilty.
This is Paul. He doesn't like the food that they serve in the press box, so one day he storms out without saying it, comes back with a D'Angelo sub.
He pulled a Carl Yastrzemski and made a scene.
I didn't storm anywhere. I went out and got my own lunch.
You stormed out.
And I might have to do that again this year.
You stormed
out
and you sashayed back in with your foot long.
And Eric.
Jim from Texas is on the line.
Right.
This is not John in Dallas.
Supermarket
this is Jim
pizza
in Texas.
Is terrible, by
he was just on the line a little while ago. You don't have to read.
This is a different guy, right?
No, it's the same guy.
It's unbelievable.
It's the same guy.
Yeah. He may have energy today, Jim, but he's still an idiot.
Jim from Texas is still on the line.
You know what? That's your boss. You need to show him a little more respect when we're trying to get out of writing newsletters. Now, knock it off.
That's a good point by you, Paul. That's a good point by you.
And don't ever say that again either.
So what else, Jim?
Okay, no, I'm sorry about that, guys. My phone cut out on you. But as far as Crable goes, I'm a little concerned about that. You know, what are you going to do? If he can't play... It's better to find out now than in week six. I hate to say that, but, you know, I don't know what the injury situation with that is. And to effort, or to respond to what Andy said, it's only a mandatory 3.5-year jail sentence if upon conviction. They do that so judges don't have discretion at sentencing.
Right.
So if he's convicted of a firearm violation for what he did, 3.5 years. Antonio Pierce, now you have Celtics fans diving out of second-story windows, you know, because you think that he's going to jail, too. Now, is Antonio Pierce his
Some
teammate?
Celtics fans wouldn't be all that upset.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Such as me.
But, yeah, just me. Anyways, Antonio Pierce, the night of the shooting, was called out by Plaxico. He went, he went to Manhattan, and he took the weapon from Plaxico, brought it to New Jersey, his home. So they're trying to see if he had unlawful possession of a firearm. Because the law is, if you bring a gun into the city, it's unregistered, and you know. Then it's an automatic 3 years, regardless of shooting. So if you're a Plaxico, you cannot let this go to trial, because if you do, you're done. The evidence was in your leg. You had a bullet in your leg, which means that it got there. You didn't self-insert it. He shot himself. He admitted to as much.
Right.
So they have no defense. He's going to try to plead this thing out, because if he doesn't, he's going to get 3.5 years. He knows it. So what they're trying to do is, hey, look, give us a year. We'll plead guilty now. And the DA's office, under the pressure from the mayor, is probably telling him, he better get at least 2 years. We're not going to take a day less, or you're fired. So then, like, hey, sorry, our deal is 2 years, and they don't want to do 2 years. So it's all negotiating and posturing. He's trying to get the best deal for his client, his job, his lawyer, and see how it goes from there, though. So now that the police blogger,
the big word now is he's going to lose at least 2 years, at least 2 years
of
his NFL career.
He's probably going to lose more than that.
Should have thought about that before he brought the gun in.
No, I don't have any sympathy for him.
No, but it's kind of like Michael Vick. He's going to lose a few more games, too, because, you know, on top of all the dogfighting, he he smoked marijuana right before he went to prison, and that came out too. So, you know, to me, Michael Vick, like I say, my only concern is I don't want him in New England. I can't imagine too many teams want him. I don't want to talk about Michael Vick anyways, though. But, Eric, have you been to practice recently?
Have I been to practice?
Yeah. Are you holding practice right now or something like that?
No.
Okay. Well, that was my other question, though. But tariff, that word, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Thank Andy Hart for that one.
I mean, Andy, that was outstanding. I mean, that's just like...
Fifth grade history class.
It was.
Right there.
It was like elementary school.
Like I was waiting for Jeff Foxworthy to show
no
up.
No taxation without representation.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. But all rookies are signed. That is awesome. But the word tariff getting thrown out there. And Tariff Reed. Who is that chick, anyway?
Tara Reed?
Oh, Tara Reed. Yeah, I mean, Tariff Reed, I'm thinking, what is she like, you know, Palestinian or something like that? So I wasn't really... too sure about that one anyway. But, guys, great show anyways. Outstanding work. And, hey, go Pats.
All right.
Thanks, all right. Jim and Texas.
Jimmy!
You know what, you know what Plaque should have done?
What?
Fred, he should have left the gun and take the cannoli.
Wow, there you go.
You know what is dumber than bringing a club? I mean, a gun into a club in a place where you can't have a gun? Getting a call from a friend who brought a gun to a club in a place where you can't have a gun, and he says, here, take this gun, and you go and get it.
Sure, I'll take it.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Oh. Yeah. And let's not pretend, I mean,
trouble.
They may be good friends, but he's not like blood brother, die for him friend.
Right.
I mean, there's certain things you say, yeah, I just can't do it. Sorry, Plax. I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever.
Speaking of Vic, I have a question. I know now he's been reinstated with
conditionally.
He's going to miss four games.
Five.
He's allowed
a minimum,
to practice.
Minimum of five.
Here's okay. He can take part in preseason practice, workouts, meetings, all that. Can play in the final two preseason games.
Yep.
And once games start, he can't play until the sixth week at the earliest, unless he's trying to petition for it to be week one. But
yeah,
be five games.
He could apply for reinstatement earlier than that.
Let me ask you, before he went to jail, had he been suspended at all prior to?
No.
Okay. I was just going to say if he'd already. Okay. Well, what do you think about that? I mean, is it fair that he has to, you know, if he gets signed with a team, miss five games?
Sure. I'm fine with it.
If you're okay with it?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would have also...
This is just the punishment for what he did with Goodell.
I think you could say this is the punishment for just lying to me personally.
Yeah.
All the legal stuff played out. You lied to me. I'm the boss.
That's what I mean.
You sit.
Yeah. I would have had no problem if they just said, okay, it's time served, like they do in the courts. You know,
right.
he served 2 years.
I wouldn't have either.
I mean, it wasn't 2 years of NFL suspension, but he missed two full years. And to me, yeah, I think you could have made an argument. That's enough.
Oh, yeah.
But I also think
you can make the argument that... Sheriff Goodell,
right.
You pissed me off. You're going to pay for it.
And I have no problem with this either. I mean, you know, he added five games to it, whatever. He's going to have a hard time. I mean, I don't know if teams are going to – I think he's a tricky case because of the style that he plays to begin with. And now you're looking at 5 weeks minimum he's out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if anyone wants to take a flyer on that. And if they don't, now all of a sudden you're 3 years removed and you're 30 years old. And
I think if he doesn't play this year, it's tough. But I actually think there might be a better chance no one signs him now.
Yeah.
And then does, you know, something blows up. Somebody, you know, desperation might breed something in October.
After week six.
Right. So that he might just need to go on his own, get a throwing coach, get a running coach, work out for the next month and a half, and then hope.
And what happens if, you know, like, who knows which direction an NFL season is going to go? Last year, no one at this time was talking about the need for, you know, different kind of athletes running a wildcat.
Right.
Well, what happens if that takes it to a whole new level this year in the NFL? Last year it was kind of a gimmick that everybody tried. Well, what happens if it's all of a sudden a staple to, I don't know, 25% of the offenses in the league this year, where everybody is running it significant, you know, everybody's running it as much as Miami ran it.
Right.
You know, maybe in the middle of October someone says, you know what?
Again, desperation.
He's not a bad guy to get. Everybody's doing it. We don't really have a guy that really fits that mold. Maybe he would.
But I think it's harder to do now and just kind of pretend he's part of your team, your building, your do. I find that hard to believe somebody's going to
take
that.
And apparently he's not considering the UFL at all. He wants to go back to the NFL or bust from what I've read.
That's probably a good... I think that's probably a good tact on his part to just work out, get a college coach, get whatever he needs, put together his own little... facility, staff, everything to prepare himself and then hope for somebody to call.
Mike from Charlotte says, I missed the first part of the show. What's up with Crable on the PUP?
We don't know.
We don't know why. It could be injury-related, strictly injury-related. It could be conditioning-related. He may have run the conditioning run on Sunday when the rookies that all reported
I know that in addition to rookies, they have guys that have injuries coming off injuries or surgeries of some sort. Obviously, he finished last year on IR, so perhaps he ran the conditioning run on Sunday and didn't pass it. That's where you would end up if that were the case, active PUP.
Speaking of that position, though, remember we were talking last show maybe about Stryker Sulak, the draft pick by the Raiders who was cut, sixth-round guy. There's a report today that the Patriots will be working him out.
Yeah, and that could be another one of those training camp things that Andy was talking about. You got to have the guys enough depth at all the positions. Ty Warren's not available right now. He's on PUP. Maybe he's just looking for another defensive end to fill in.
Or Crable. I mean, I think he's a tweener guy, right?
That could be, too. Wait.
There's,
that could be, too.
I think
I don't
he's
know.
A tweener that they could see in that role.
I thought he was bigger than that, but no,
your
he's,
guy,
he's an outside linebacker candidate.
Probably.
Yeah, your guy, Mel Kiper, pre-draft was slotting him as an outside guy in the 3-4.
Oh, well, then that, you know, the latter makes more sense then. I thought he was like a big
he's
guy.
He's kind of a tweener, though, like Andy said.
I think he's like 278, maybe. Just rings a bell.
6'4", 251.
Okay, oh, 251.
That's yeah. not even a tweener. That's an outside yeah. linebacker.
Sam in Chicago writes in, I can't wait for your preseason observations from the practices later this week. A question. Where do you guys weigh in about Fox's Pete Schrager's comment about the starting cornerbacks being a concern for the Patriots? Lee Bodden, Sean Springs, and rookie Darius Butler and Jamar Love join a young unit with very little NFL experience. Could this be the key difference for our toughest games against the likes of the Colts and the Ravens? Thanks as always, and it sounds like given we're now talking about sobs, that practice could not have come sooner. Well, I think that, that's not
story.
A big
I mean, it's a concern
news
in,
flash.
Yeah, yeah. It's a concern in that you're going to have new starters on both sides.
Big concern.
Most likely. But I'm not as concerned because some of the guys they got to replace, the people that left, are established veterans.
And some of the people that left were pretty stinky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think that you could be as bad as they were last year, but I am very concerned about the fact that you have, in essence, you're going to have your top four or five corners are going to be all new. Because,
right.
you know,
but
maybe,
we've been talking
maybe,
about it since
maybe with the exception
February.
Of Will Height. You could consider Will Height one of their top three or four corners last year. He certainly will be again. But all the rest of the guys, Bodden, Springs, Wheatley, Butler, none of those guys were in your top four or five corners last year. Mm-hmm. For various reasons, some weren't here, obviously.
But I think you have reason to be more optimistic this year at that position than a year ago.
On paper.
Stunk.
On paper, right.
Until on paper. But I don't think these – I think it's a major concern until you see them play. And I think they've had an endless list of guys that have come in that haven't panned out. And we'll see if these guys pan out.
John and – or Mitch in Florida talks about Claire Forlani and Sophie Marceau. As people,
Claire Forlani was in.
He's ready to go this time.
I don't really like Sophie.
Why do you
meet Joe Black?
I'm sitting right here.
He's the creepiest guy.
Anything?
I like Sophie Marceau.
Yeah, I don't either.
And Claire Forlani's doing a weird lean forward to try to pretend she has big boobs, but I don't think she does. So far in the pictures that have been printed today, it's easily Brooklyn Decker.
She was in Meet Joe Black, I believe.
Let's see. John writes in, here is the list of the top 10 best hands in NFL history. While I love seeing Raymond Berry, how in the hell do you put Larry Fitzgerald ahead of Jerry Rice? Fitzgerald has been a beast, but he has not even done enough to be better than Terry Glenn. Hell, I'm not even sure
please.
Fitzgerald is better than Falk. So here's the best hands.
Wait, best hands, and who said Larry Fitzgerald was better than Jerry Rice?
Well, evidently this list.
This list.
But Jerry Rice had a reputation for drops.
Right.
Especially early in his career.
Yeah,
he had, matter of fact, a major reputation for drops.
Larry Fitzgerald never had two drops.
And Larry Fitzgerald never had a reputation. I mean, we're not talking about who the better wide receiver is. That's foolish to compare anybody to Jerry Rice. But, I mean, and strictly hands, Fitzgerald never had a reputation
for drops.
Well,
number one, they have Chris Carter, one of the best possession receivers of all time.
Yeah.
Two is Raymond Berry. Three is Steve Largent, another possession-type receiver. Four is Larry Fitzgerald. Five is Fred Biletnikoff. Six is Kellen Winslow Sr. Seven is Jerry Rice. Eight is Sterling Sharp. Nine is Lynn Swann. And 10 is Marvin Harrison. It's a tough list to create.
It is.
And who created it?
This is, I don't know.
I thought you said Fox something, but...
That was for the corners, Pete Schrager.
It's hard to do strictly hands. I mean, I know that Chris Carter was considered to have as good a pair of hands as anybody, but I don't know.
TC in West Springfield, as the new season arrives, I'd like your thoughts on the second-year players, and also, who will be the Gary Guyton of this year's rookies? Much to the chagrin, dismay, and disdain of Paul, I think Edelman will make the team if he can carve a special teams role for himself. On defense, he could offer a lot of versatility and upside as he improves. It will be telling how he's used the first 3 weeks of camp. He might even run the ludicrous cat offense. Ciao.
Ciao.
So,
are we looking for an undrafted free agent?
Yeah,
to
who's
going to
be this year's Gary Guyton?
Do we don't really have that many, do we?
Who are they? Love, Barnes,
yeah, Jamar Love. Well, Barnes is on the
White.
Shaun White is.
Yeah,
Hoyer.
Keep writing that wrong.
Love, Tom Malone, Terrence Nunn, Jermail Porter, and Shaun White. Those are the rookie free agents.
I'll go Terrence
year.
Nunn.
I don't think anybody. Who is the other
Hoyer,
one?
Hoyer, Love, Malone, Nunn, Porter, and White.
Terrence Nunn, and I'll write the Pulse during week two after Porter. Being blackballed for a year by
Porter
the NFL.
I'm going to say Porter has Nunn a chance to be on the chance. Practice squad, much the way that Stephen Neal did. They might decide that he has raw ability and we can
Hoyer has
we can
a chance to be
it.
Practice squad, too.
I think Hoyer has a chance for the roster, but he won't have an impact even if he's on the roster
no.
because he's going to be the third quarterback.
Edelman has been playing wide receiver, not defense.
Wide receiver, running back, and quarterback.
I haven't seen him play any defense.
No.
I don't know why he would.
Yeah,
I don't know why he would,
and it wouldn't be to my dismay. I could
certainly wouldn't be
really
a corner.
Couldn't care less. I don't think he's. I don't think he's big enough.
No,
quite frankly.
He's not the 6 feet that they generously list him.
I think
as
you
on
have to be
either.
Hell no.
I mean, you have to be like lights. You have to be Welker. I mean, to be that small, you have to be at that level.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure that
he needs to stay on his feet. He needs to stay.
We'll see. He's just sure he's just a rookie seventh round pick.
Cut.
You know, we'll give him some time. But I don't know.
If he's a poor man's Wes Welker, what does that make him? What's the below loose change?
Lint.
Lint in the pocket?
a button.
Let's see. Ken in
Destitute
Florida.
Man's.
When I heard the news of the Patrick Chung signing, it suddenly struck me that the defense has a good number of new faces. I heard some chatter about this on EEI this morning, but didn't pay too much attention to it. Figured I'd ask the experts. Well, and Eric, what's your impressions of the new Pats and how they'll fit into the schemes in any absolute beasts out there? Will we finally be able to cover receivers and possibly pressure the passer? Apologies if this has already been a recent topic. I'm a bit behind on listening to the podcasts.
I think the former is a possibility. I'm concerned about the latter. I still think pass rush is going to be an issue.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I think that's a little bit of an issue. I think the secondary is an issue. I think the only
but
thing that's really
not an issue.
But at
least the secondary has answers, potential answers. I don't see potential answers at linebacker.
Exactly.
I just don't.
I agree. It's the linebackers is definitely.
You're playing without a net. You got no net.
It's definitely, especially if this Crable thing is serious. I don't know if it is or not. But for him probably not going to be out there on Thursday when we get our first look at the entire team on the field, that's not a good sign.
Is that that noise test they were talking about? By the wall.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Adam writes in, nothing going on till Thursday, so I wanted to ask your opinions. What was your favorite Patriots game of all time?
Wow, Super Bowl 36.
Super Bowl 36.
Great, great question.
Your favorite game of all time.
Easily, Super Bowl 36.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
That was some game.
My favorite would be 38. I think I still say it's the best game I've ever seen in person.
The Carolina one.
Oh, God, what a game that was.
That was a good game, but I was not as emotional as I was when they won the 36.
Want us to leave you alone for a minute?
No, as a fan, I was...
I hear you.
36
Look,
was the
lot.
More emotional game.
You always remember your first, Eric. You'll learn that someday.
there's a lot to pick from.
See how I bounce
yeah,
between
I mean,
version
that 36
gay,
for
gay.
Me was probably the best. The
Neither
tuck
are good,
rule
by the way.
Was
the Giants
Warren rule was great.
The Giants game at the end of 96, I mean.
That was a great game.
Remarkable.
Tuna Bowl 1 for me was a great game.
I didn't find that anywhere near as enjoyable.
You didn't like that.
All I did was throw pillows around and wanted to knock up. My girlfriend was really, really upset with me that night. Wow.
You want to knock up your girlfriend?
Or knock out. I didn't know where he was going there.
Why didn't you like Tuna Bowl 1?
Because the Patriots choked.
But they won the game.
Yeah, I know. And it was a hollow victory. And it was proven later in the year.
So what? It was at the time, it was just great.
At the time, what it was to me was an eye-opener. We're not as good as we think we are, and we're going to get out-coached by the better coaches. That's what worried me that day. Because that team, the Jets were nowhere near as good as the Patriots.
But it was just a fun game to watch.
Well, yeah, in terms of strict drama and all that, yeah. But it was one of those things that you had a sick feeling in your stomach that, They ain't that good. And ultimately, that feeling that you had was right.
How about the Colts game? The along those lines.
In terms of a
not
loss?
Good one, yeah.
Yeah.
The AFC Championship?
In terms of a loss.
He says, what was your favorite Patriots loss, too?
That would be up there. Well, yeah, be up there. I mean,
favorite.
What is favorite mean?
It's kind of a funny word, memorable. But that would probably be the best game I ever saw that they lost.
Right. That was
tremendous. That game.
Yeah. Last year's Jets was a good one, too. The overtime game.
I hate the word favorite in loss is tough.
Most memorable loss?
Well,
instead of saying
but that,
favorite?
That tweaks it to Super Bowl 42 is the most memorable loss.
Yeah, well,
and it wasn't great.
The Colts game was much better than
very
that.
Different memory.
Yeah.
What Pat stuff do you own and cherish the most? DVDs, jerseys, books, etc. I have obviously rings.
Well,
rings would be high.
I think the ring would probably be it.
Yeah.
That would be high on the list, but I'm going to surprise Fred here. You know the football that Robert gave everybody?
The football that they gave us when they opened Gillette Stadium. He gave all the employees a signed football.
I love that.
Mine's starting to fade.
Yeah, I should probably get up.
Can I bring it in for Mr. Kraft to update
touch it up a little bit?
Fill it in.
I actually still have the first program, the program from the first game I ever saw in person. It was against the Eagles. Reggie White was on the cover.
87? Overtime?
Yes.
Wow. 34-31? He knows more about it than you do, and he wasn't even there.
He probably was there.
Paul's wearing his Eagle green today.
He is.
This is what you're supposed to say. How do you remember these things?
I don't think that's
Eagle green.
What player that you each have met do you enjoy talking with the most?
Tom Ashworth.
What's up, Paul Brillo?
Very easy.
Rodney Harris.
Rodney
What's
Harrison.
Up, Paul Brillo?
Because you've covered other sports, too. What about just all sports?
Gabe Kapler?
Really?
From Eric, I would have understood that. But
great guy.
Yeah?
That's Manny being Manny, you know.
Any Bruin would fall into that. And that's probably the team I covered the most before I came here.
Yeah.
Tom Ashworth is mine, by far. Mm. Not even a close second.
Love Tom Ashworth.
The only person ever walking through eating pizza says, you want a slice?
Tom Ashworth
really
is in,
say that?
You know, if I had my all-time Patriots
greatest
top
man
five,
of all time
Tom Ashworth is in that top really? Five in terms of that.
Offered you pizza. Yeah.
As caring a human being as there ever was.
Wow.
I've seen the conversations you used to have with Andy, and I don't mean this as a shot, Andy.
It feels like one's coming.
When he was teaching, when he left to become a teacher, they talked about it for
his wife's a teacher.
And then when he decided to come back, like he legitimately was interested in why Andy came back and what happened, and it wasn't just one of those things, hey, what are you doing back here?
Yeah.
He talked to him for
greatest
like 20 minutes
ever.
One day.
Greatest man ever.
Huh. Yeah, I don't have the experience you guys have in the locker room
used to, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, back at Larry Izzo, Ted Johnson was a great
Both
guy.
Both of those guys would be high on the list.
But those guys are, for my me, are high
five,
on my list professionally.
My top five, I'm going to have an Andyism. I'm going to need more guys in my top five.
Believe it, once I got to know him and he got to know me, Ferrick Collins was a great guy.
No comment on that one.
You laugh, but he was.
Jerk.
How about London Pfeiffer?
London Pfeiffer?
Wasn't he?
London Fletcher? Roman Pfeiffer.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Something I would say.
It was a Fred moment right there. Roman Pfeiffer.
Can we use that bathroom?
I didn't talk to Roman a lot.
He's squirming in his seat. He's got a poop or something.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back on Thursday. And don't forget, it's an expanded PFW in Progress from 12 to 3. A lot of big things happening. You're going to have to be here on Thursday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.